4. What shall I render unto thee for all these thy manifold mercies? O that I were able to serve thee all the days of my life! O that even for one day I were enabled to do thee service worthy of thyself! For verily thou art worthy of all service, all honour, and praise without end. Verily thou art my God, and I am thy poor servant, who am bound to serve thee with all my strength, nor ought I ever to grow weary of thy praise. This is my wish, this is my exceeding great desire, and whatsoever is lacking to me, vouchsafe thou to supply. 5. It is great honour, great glory to serve thee, and to despise all for thy sake. For they shall have great grace, who of their own will shall submit themselves to thy most holy service. They who for thy love have cast away every carnal delight shall find the sweetest consolation of the Holy Ghost. They who enter the narrow way of life for thy name's sake, and have put away all worldly cares, shall attain great liberty of spirit. 6. O grateful and delightsome service of God, whereby man is made truly free and holy! O sacred condition of the religious servant, which maketh man equal to the angels, well-pleasing unto God, terrible to evil spirits, and acceptable to all faithful ones! O service to be embraced and ever desired, in which the highest good is promised, and joy is gained, which shall remain for evermore. 1. Psalm 31, verse 19, chapter 11. That the desires of the heart are to be examined and governed. My son, thou hast still many things to learn which thou hast not well learned yet. 2. What are they, Lord? 3. To place thy desire altogether in subjection to my good pleasure, and not to be a lover of thyself, but an earnest seeker of my will. Thy desires often excite and urge thee forward, but consider with thyself whether thou art not more moved for thine own objects than for my honour. If it is myself that thou seekest, thou shalt be well content with whatsoever I shall ordain. But if any pursuit of thine own lieth hidden within thee, behold, it is this which hindereth and weigheth thee down. 4. Beware, therefore, lest thou strive too earnestly after some desire which thou hast conceived, without taking counsel of me, lest haply it repent thee afterwards, and that displease thee which before pleased, and for which thou didst long as for a great good. For not every affection which seemeth good is to be forthwith followed, neither is every opposite affection to be immediately avoided. Sometimes it is expedient to use restraint even in good desires and wishes, lest through importunity thou fall into distraction of mind, lest through want of discipline thou become a stumbling block to others, or lest by the resistance of others thou be suddenly disturbed and brought to confusion. 5. Sometimes indeed it is needful to use violence, and manfully to strive against the sensual appetite, and not to consider what the flesh may or not will, but rather to strive after this, that it may become subject, however unwillingly, to the spirit, and for so long it ought to be chastised and compelled to undergo slavery, even until it be ready for all things, and learn to be contented with little, to be delighted with things simple, and never to murmur at any inconvenience. Chapter 12. Of the inward growth of patience, and of the struggle against evil desires. O Lord God, I see that patience is very necessary unto me, for many things in this life fall out contrary. For howsoever I may have contrived for my peace, my life cannot go on without strife and trouble. 2. Thou speakest truly, my son, for I will not that thou seek such a peace as is without trials and knoweth no adversities, but rather that thou shouldest judge thyself to have found peace, when thou art tried with manifold tribulations and proved by many adversities. If thou shalt say that thou art not able to bear much, how then wilt thou sustain the fire hereafter? Of two evils we should always choose the less. Therefore, that thou mayest escape eternal torments hereafter, strive on God's behalf to endure present evils bravely. Thinkest thou that the children of this world suffer naught, or but little? Thou wilt not find it so, even though thou find out the most prosperous. 3. But, thou wilt say, they have many delights, and they follow their own wills, and thus they bear lightly their tribulations. 4. Be it so, grant that they have what they list, but how long, thinkest thou, will it last? Behold, like the smoke those who are rich in this world will pass away, and no record shall remain of their past joys. Yea, even while they yet live, they rest not without bitterness and weariness and fear. For from the very same thing wherein they find delight, thence they oftentimes have the punishment of sorrow. Justly it befalleth them, that because out of measure they seek out and pursue pleasures, they enjoy them not without confusion and bitterness. Oh, how short, how false, How inordinate and wicked are all these pleasures! Yet because of their sottishness and blindness men do not understand, but like brute beasts for the sake of a little pleasure of this corruptible life, they incur death of the soul. Thou therefore, my son, go not after thy lusts, but refrain thyself from thine appetites. Delight thou in the Lord, and he shall give thee thy heart's desire. 5. For if thou wilt truly find delight and be abundantly comforted of me, behold, in the contempt of all worldly things and in the avoidance of all worthless pleasures shall be thy blessing, and fullness of consolation shall be given thee. And the more thou withdrawest thyself from all solace of creatures, the more sweet and powerful consolations shalt thou find. But at the first thou shalt not attain to them, without some sorrow and hard striving. Long accustomed habit will oppose, but it shall be overcome by better habit. The flesh will murmur again and again, but will be restrained by fervor of spirit. The old serpent will urge and embitter thee, but will be put to flight by prayer. Moreover, by useful labor his entrance will be greatly obstructed. 1 Ecclesiastes 18, verse 30, 2 Psalm 37, verse 4, chapter 13, of the obedience of one in lowly subjection after the example of Jesus Christ. My son, he who striveth to withdraw himself from obedience withdraweth himself also from grace, and he who seeketh private advantages loseth those which are common unto all. If a man submit not freely and willingly to one set over him, it is a sign that his flesh is not yet perfectly subject to himself, but often resisteth and murmureth. Learn therefore quickly to submit thyself to him who is over thee, if thou seekest to bring thine own flesh into subjection. For the outward enemy is very quickly overcome, if the inner man have not been laid low. There is no more grievous and deadly enemy to the soul than thou art to thyself, if thou art not led by the Spirit. Thou must not altogether conceive contempt for thyself if thou wilt prevail against flesh and blood, because as yet thou inordinately lovest thyself, therefore thou shrinkest from yielding thyself to the will of others. 2. But what great thing is it that thou, who art dust and nothingness, yieldest thyself to man for God's sake, when I, the Almighty and the Most High, who created all things out of nothing, subjected myself to man for thy sake? I became the most humble and despised of men, that by my humility thou mightest overcome thy pride. Learn to obey, O dust. Learn to humble thyself, O earth and clay, and to bow thyself beneath the feet of all. Learn to crush thy passions and to yield thyself in all subjection. 3. Be zealous against thyself, nor suffer pride to live within thee. But so show thyself subject and of no reputation, that all may be able to walk over thee, and tread thee down as the clay in the streets. What hast thou, O foolish man, of which to complain? What, O vile sinner, canst thou answer those who speak against thee, seeing thou hast so often offended God, and many a time hast deserved hell? But mine eye hath spared thee, because thy soul was precious in my sight, that thou mightest know my love, and mightest be thankful for my benefits, and that thou mightest give thyself altogether to true subjection and humility, and patiently bear the contempt which thou meritest. Chapter 14. Of meditation upon the hidden judgments of God, that we may not be lifted up because of our well-doing. Thou sendest forth thy judgments against me, O Lord, and shakest all my bones with fear and trembling, and my soul trembleth exceedingly. I stand astonished, and remember that the heavens are not clean in thy sight. If thou chargest thine angels with folly and didst spare them not, how shall it be unto me? Stars have fallen from heaven, and what shall I dare who am but dust? They whose works seem to be praiseworthy fell into the lowest depths, and they who did eat angels' food, them have I seen delighted with the husks that the swine do eat. 2. There is therefore no holiness if thou, O Lord, withdraw thine hand. No wisdom profiteth if thou leave off to guide the helm. No strength availeth if thou cease to preserve. No purity is secure if thou protect it not. No self-keeping availeth if thy holy watching be not there. For when we are left alone, we are swallowed up and perish. But when we are visited, we are raised up, and we live. For indeed we are unstable, but are made strong through thee. We grow cold, but are rekindled by thee. 3. Oh, how humbly and abjectly must I reckon of myself! How must I weigh it as nothing, if I seem to have nothing good? Oh, how profoundly ought I to submit myself to thy unfathomable judgments, O Lord, when I find myself nothing else save nothing and again nothing. O weight unmeasurable, O ocean which cannot be crossed over, where I find nothing of myself save nothing altogether. Where then is the hiding place of glory, where the confidence begotten of virtue? All vainglory is swallowed up in the depths of thy judgments against me. 4. What is all flesh in thy sight? For how shall the clay boast against him that fashioned it? 2. How can he be lifted up in vain speech, whose heart is subjected in truth to God? The whole world shall not lift him up whom truth hath subdued, nor shall he be moved by the mouth of all who praise him, who hath placed all his hope in God. For they themselves who speak, behold, they are all nothing. For they shall cease with the sound of their words, but the truth of the Lord endureth forever. 3. 1. Job 15, verse 15. 2. Isaiah 29, verse 16. 3. Psalm 117, verse 2, and chapter 15. How we must stand and speak in everything that we desire. My son, speak thou thus in every matter, Lord, if it please thee, let this come to pass. Lord, if this shall be for thine honour, let it be done in thy name. Lord, if thou see it good for me, and approve it as useful, then grant me to use it for thy honour. But if thou knowest that it shall be hurtful unto me, and not profitable for the health of my soul, take the desire away from me. For not every desire is from the Holy Ghost, although it appear to a man right and good. It is difficult to judge with certainty whether a good or an evil spirit move thee to desire this or that, or whether thou art moved by thine own spirit. Many have been deceived at the last, who seemed at the beginning to be moved by a good spirit. 2. Therefore whatsoever seemeth to thee desirable, thou must always desire and seek after it with the fear of God and humility of heart, and most of all must altogether resign thyself, and commit all unto me, and say, Lord, thou knowest what is best. Let this or that be according as thou wilt. Give what thou wilt, so much as thou wilt, when thou wilt. Do with me as thou knowest best, and as best shall please thee, and as shall be most to thine honour. Place me where thou wilt, and freely work thy will with me in all things. I am in thine hand, and turn me in my course. Behold, I am thy servant, ready for all things. For I desire to live not to myself, but to thee. Oh, that I might live worthily and perfectly. A prayer to be enabled to do God's will perfectly. 3. Grant me thy grace, most merciful Jesus, that it may be with me, and work in me, and persevere with me, even unto the end. Grant that I may ever desire and wish whatsoever is most pleasing and dear unto thee. Let thy will be mine, and let my will always follow thine and entirely accord with it. May I choose and reject whatsoever thou dost. Yea, let it be impossible for me to choose or reject except according to thy will. 4. Grant that I may die to all worldly things, and for thy sake love to be despised and unknown in this world. Grant unto me above all things that I can desire to rest in thee, and that in thee my heart may be at peace. Thou art the true peace of the heart, thou alone its rest. Apart from thee, all things are hard and unquiet. In thee alone, the supreme and eternal God, I will lay me down in peace and take my rest. 1. Amen. 1. Psalm 4, verse 8, chapter 16. That true solace is to be sought in God alone. Whatsoever I am able to desire or to think of for my solace, I look for it not here, but hereafter. For if I alone had all the solaces of this world, and were able to enjoy all its delights, it is certain that they could not endure long. Wherefore, O my soul, thou canst be fully comforted and perfectly refreshed, only in God, the comforter of the poor, and the lifter up of the humble. Wait but a little while, my soul, wait for the divine promise, and thou shalt have abundance of all good things in heaven. If thou longest too inordinately for the things which are now, thou shalt lose those which are eternal and heavenly. Let temporal things be in the use, eternal things in the desire. Thou canst not be satisfied with any temporal good, for thou wast not created for the enjoyment of these. 2. Although thou hadst all the good things which ever were created, yet couldst not thou be happy and blessed. All thy blessedness and thy felicity lieth in God who created all things, not such felicity as seemeth good to the foolish lover of the world, but such as Christ's good and faithful servants wait for, and as the spiritual and pure in heart sometimes taste, whose conversation is in heaven. All human solace is empty and short-lived. Blessed and true is that solace which is felt inwardly springing from the truth. The godly man everywhere beareth about with him his own comforter Jesus, and saith unto him, Be with me, Lord Jesus, always and everywhere. Let it be my comfort to be able to give up cheerfully all human comfort, and if thy consolation fail me, Let thy will and righteous approval be alway with me for the highest comfort. For thou wilt not always be chiding, neither keepest thou thine anger for ever. 2. 1. Philippians 3, verse 20. 2. Psalm 103, verse 9. Chapter 17. And that all care is to be cast upon God. My son, suffer me to do with thee what I will. I know what is expedient for thee. Thou thinkest as a man, in many things thou judgest as human affection persuadeth thee. 2. Lord, what thou sayest is true. Greater is thy care for me than all the care which I am able to take for myself. For too insecurely doth he stand who casteth not all his care upon thee. Lord, so long as my will standeth right and firm in thee, do with me what thou wilt, for whatsoever thou shalt do with me cannot be aught but good. Blessed be thou if thou wilt leave me in darkness. Blessed also be thou if thou wilt leave me in light. Blessed be thou if thou vouchsafe to comfort me, and always blessed be thou if thou cause me to be troubled. 3. My son, even thus thou must stand if thou desirest to walk with me. Thou must be ready alike for suffering or rejoicing. Thou must be poor and needy as willingly as full and rich. 4. Lord, I will willingly bear for thee whatsoever thou wilt have to come upon me. Without choice I will receive from thy hand good and evil, sweet and bitter, joy and sadness, and will give thee thanks for all things which shall happen unto me. Keep me from all sin, and I will not fear death nor hell. Only cast me not away forever, nor blot me out of the book of life. Then no tribulation which shall come upon me shall do me hurt. Chapter 18. That temporal miseries are to be borne patiently after the example of Christ. My son, I came down from heaven for thy salvation. I took upon me thy miseries not of necessity, but drawn by love, that thou mightest learn patience, and mightest bear temporal miseries without murmuring. For from the hour of my birth until my death upon the cross I ceased not from bearing of sorrow. I had much lack of temporal things. I oftentimes heard many reproaches against myself. I gently bore contradictions and hard words. I received ingratitude for benefits, blasphemies for my miracles, rebukes for my doctrine. 2. Lord, because thou wast patient in thy life, herein most of all fulfilling the commandment of thy Father, it is well that I, miserable sinner, should patiently bear myself according to thy will, and as long as thou wilt have it so, should bear about with me for my salvation the burden of this corruptible life. For although the present life seemeth burdensome, it is nevertheless already made very full of merit through thy grace, and to those who are weak it becometh easier and brighter through thy example and the footsteps of thy saints, but it is also much more full of consolation than it was of old, under the Old Testament, when the gate of heaven remained shut, and even the way to heaven seemed more obscure when so few cared to seek after the heavenly kingdom. But not even those who were then just and in the way of salvation were able, before thy passion and the ransom of thy holy death, to enter the kingdom of heaven. 3. O, what great thanks am I bound to give thee, who hast vouchsafed to show me and all faithful people the good and right way to thine eternal kingdom. For thy way is our way, and by holy patience we walk to thee who art our crown. If thou hadst not gone before and taught us, who would care to follow? O, how far would they have gone backward if they had not beheld thy glorious example? Behold, we are still lukewarm, though we have heard of thy many signs and discourses. What would become of us if we had not such a light to help us follow thee? Chapter 19. Of bearing injuries, and who shall be approved as truly patient. What sayest thou, my son? Cease to complain, consider my suffering and that of my saints. Thou hast not yet resisted unto blood. It is little which thou sufferest in comparison with those who have suffered so many things, have been so strongly tempted, so grievously troubled, so manywise proved and tried. Thou oughtest therefore to call to mind the more grievous sufferings of others, that thou mightest bear thy lesser ones more easily. And if they seem not to thee little, see that it is not thy impatience which is the cause of this, but whether they be little or whether they be great, study to bear them all with patience. 2. So far as thou settest thyself to bear patiently, so far thou dost wisely and art deserving of the more merit. Thou shalt also bear the more easily if thy mind and habit are carefully trained hereunto. And say not, I cannot bear these things from such a man, nor are things of this kind to be borne by me. For he hath done me grievous harm, and imputeth to me what I had never thought. But from another I will suffer patiently such things as I see I ought to suffer, Foolish is such a thought as this, for it considereth not the virtue of patience, nor by whom that virtue is to be crowned, but it rather weigheth persons and offences against self. 3. He is not truly patient, who will only suffer as far as seemeth right to himself, and from whom he pleaseth. But the truly patient man considereth not by what man he is tried, whether by one above him, or by an equal or inferior, whether by a good and holy man, or a perverse and unworthy, but indifferently from every creature, whatsoever or how often soever adversity happeneth to him, he gratefully accepteth all from the hand of God and counteth it great gain, for with God nothing which is born for his sake, however small, shall lose its reward. 4. Be thou therefore ready for the fight if thou wilt have the victory. Without striving thou canst not win the crown of patience. If thou wilt not suffer, thou refusest to be crowned. But if thou desirest to be crowned, strive manfully, endure patiently. Without labor thou drawest not near to rest, nor without fighting comest thou to victory. 5. Make possible to me, O Lord, by grace what seemeth impossible to me by nature. Thou knowest how little I am able to bear, and how quickly I am cast down when a like adversity riseth up against me. Whatsoever trial of tribulation may come to me, may it become unto me pleasing and acceptable, for to suffer and be vexed for thy sake is exceeding healthful to the soul. 1. Hebrews 12, verse 4. Chapter 20. Of confession of our infirmity and of the miseries of this life. I will acknowledge my sin unto thee, I will confess to thee, Lord, my infirmity. It is often a small thing which casteth me down and maketh me sad. I resolve that I will act bravely, but when a little temptation cometh, immediately I am in a great strait. Wonderfully small sometimes is the matter whence a grievous temptation cometh, and whilst I imagine myself safe for a little space, when I am not considering, I find myself often almost overcome by a little puff of wind. 2. Behold, therefore, O Lord, my humility and my frailty, which is altogether known to thee. Be merciful unto me, and draw me out of the mire that I sink not, too, lest I ever remain cast down. This is what frequently throweth me backward and confoundeth me before thee, that I am so liable to fall, so weak to resist my passions. And though their assault is not altogether according to my will, it is violent and grievous, and it altogether wearieth me to live thus daily in conflict. Herein is my infirmity made known to me, that hateful fancies always rush in far more easily than they depart. 3. O that thou, most mighty God of Israel, lover of all faithful souls, wouldst look upon the labor and sorrow of thy servant, and give him help in all things whereunto he striveth. Strengthen me with heavenly fortitude, lest the old man, this miserable flesh, not being yet fully subdued to the spirit, prevail to rule over me, against which I ought to strive so long as I remain in this most miserable life. Oh, what a life is this, where tribulations and miseries cease not, where all things are full of snares and of enemies. For when one tribulation or temptation goeth, another cometh. Yea, while the former conflict is yet raging, others come more in number and unexpected. 4. And how can the life of man be loved, seeing that it hath so many bitter things, that it is subjected to so many calamities and miseries? How can it be even called life, when it produces so many deaths and plagues? The world is often reproached because it is deceitful and vain, yet notwithstanding it is not easily given up, because the lusts of the flesh have too much rule over it. Some draw us to love, some to hate. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, these draw to love of the world, but the punishments and miseries which righteously follow these things bring forth hatred of the world and weariness. 5. But alas, an evil desire conquereth a mind given to the world, and thinketh it happiness to be under the nettles. 3. Because it savoureth not, nor perceiveth the sweetness of God, nor the inward gracefulness of virtue. But they who perfectly despise the world, and strive to live unto God in holy discipline, these are not ignorant of the divine sweetness promised to all who truly deny themselves, and see clearly how grievously the world erreth, and in how many ways it is deceived. 1. Psalm 32, verse 5. 2. Psalm 69, verse 14. 3. Job 30, verse 7. Chapter 21. That we must rest in God above all goods and gifts. Above all things and in all things thou shalt rest alway in the Lord, O my soul, for he himself is the eternal rest of the saints. Grant me, most sweet and loving Jesus, to rest in thee above every creature, above all health and beauty, above all glory and honor, above all power and dignity, above all knowledge and skillfulness, above all riches and arts, above all joy and exaltation, above all fame and praise, above all sweetness and consolation, above all hope and promise, above all merit and desire, above all gifts and rewards which thou canst give and pour forth, above all joy and jubilation which the mind is able to receive and feel. In a word, above angels and archangels and all the army of heaven, above all things visible and invisible, and above everything which thou, O my God, art not. 2. For thou, O Lord my God, art best above all things. Thou only art the Most High, thou only the Almighty, thou only the All-Sufficient, and the fullness of all things, thou only the All-Delightsome and the All-Comforting, thou alone the altogether lovely and altogether loving, thou alone the most exalted and most glorious above all things, in whom all things are, and were, and ever shall be, altogether and all perfect. And thus it falleth short and is insufficient whatsoever thou givest to me without thyself, or whatsoever thou revealest, or dost promise concerning thyself, whilst thou art not seen or fully possessed. Since verily my heart cannot truly rest nor be entirely content, except it rest in thee and go beyond all gifts and every creature. 3. O my most beloved spouse, Jesus Christ, most holy lover of my soul, ruler of this whole creation, who shall give me the wings of true liberty, that I may flee to thee and find rest? O when shall it be given me to be open to receive thee to the full and to see how sweet thou art, O Lord my God? When shall I collect myself altogether in thee, that because of thy love I may not feel myself at all, but may know thee only above every sense and measure in measure not known to others? But now I ofttimes groan and bear my sad estate with sorrow, because many evils befall me in this vale of miseries which continually disturb and fill me with sorrow, and encloud me, continually hinder and fill me with care, allure and entangle me, that I cannot have free access to thee, nor enjoy that sweet intercourse which is always near at hand to the blessed spirits. Let my deep sighing come before thee, and my manifold desolation on the earth. 4. O Jesus, light of eternal glory, solace of the wandering soul, before thee my mouth is without speech, and my silence speaketh to thee. How long will my Lord delay to come unto me? Let him come unto me, his poor and humble one, and make me glad. Let him put forth his hand, and deliver his holy one from every snare. Come, O come, for without thee shall be no joyful day or hour, for thou art my joy, and without thee is my table empty. I am miserable, and in a manner imprisoned and loaded with fetters, until thou refresh me by the light of thy presence, and give me liberty, and show thy loving countenance. 5. Let others seek some other thing instead of thee, whatsoever it shall please them, but for my part nothing else pleaseth, or shall please, save thou my God, my hope, my eternal salvation. I will not hold my peace, nor cease to implore until thy grace return, and until thou speak to me within. 6. Behold, here I am, behold, I come to thee, for thou didst call me. Thy tears and the longing of thy soul, thy humbleness and contrition of heart have inclined me, and brought me to thee. 7. And I said, Lord, I have called upon thee, and I have longed to enjoy thee, being ready to reject everything for thy sake. For thou didst first move me to seek thee. Therefore blessed be thou, O Lord, who has wrought this good work upon thy servant, according to the multitude of thy mercy. What then hath thy servant to say in thy presence, save to humble himself greatly before thee, being always mindful of his own iniquity and vileness? For there is none like unto thee in all marvels of heaven and earth. Excellent are thy works, true are thy judgments, and by thy providence are all things governed. Therefore praise and glory be unto thee, O wisdom of the Father. Let my mouth and my soul and all created things praise and bless thee together. Chapter 22. Of the recollection of God's manifold benefits. Open, O Lord, my heart in thy law, and teach me to walk in the way of thy commandments. Grant me to understand thy will, and to be mindful of thy benefits, both general and special, with great reverence and diligent meditation, that thus I may be able worthily to give thee thanks. Yet I know and confess that I cannot render thee due praises for the least of thy mercies. I am less than the least of all the good things which thou gavest me, and when I consider thy majesty my spirit faileth because of the greatness thereof. 2. All things which we have in the soul and in the body, and whatsoever things we possess, whether outwardly or inwardly, naturally or supernaturally, are thy good gifts, and prove thee, from whom we have received them all, to be good, gentle and kind. Although one receiveth many things, and another fewer, yet all are thine, and without thee not even the least thing can be possessed. He who hath received greater cannot boast that it is of his own merit, nor lift himself up above others, nor contemn those beneath him. For he is the greater and the better who ascribeth least to himself, and in giving thanks is the humbler and more devout. And he who holdeth himself to be viler than all, and judgeth himself to be the more unworthy, is the apter for receiving greater things. 3. But he who hath received fewer gifts ought not to be cast down, nor to take it amiss, nor to envy him who is richer, but rather ought he to look unto thee, and to greatly extol thy goodness, for thou pourest forth thy gifts so richly, so freely and largely, without respect of persons. All things come of thee, therefore in all things shalt thou be praised. Thou knowest what is best to be given to each, and why this man hath less and that more is not for us, but for thee to understand. For unto thee each man's deservings are fully known. 4. Wherefore, O Lord God, I reckon it even a great benefit, not to have many things, whence praise and glory may appear outwardly, and after the thought of men. For so it is that he who considereth his own poverty and vileness ought not only to draw therefrom no grief or sorrow or sadness of spirit, but rather comfort and cheerfulness. Because thou, Lord, hast chosen the poor and humble, and those who are poor in this world, to be thy friends and acquaintance. So give all thine apostles witness whom thou hast made princes in all lands. Yet they had their conversation in this world blameless, so humble and meek, without any malice or deceit, that they even rejoiced to suffer rebukes for thy name's sake, and what things the world hateth, they embraced with great joy. 5. Therefore ought nothing so much to rejoice him who loveth thee and knoweth thy benefits, as thy will in him, and the good pleasure of thine eternal providence, wherewith he ought to be so contented and comforted, that he would as willingly be the least as any other would be the greatest, as peaceable and contented in the lowest as in the highest place, and as willingly held of small and low account, and of no name or reputation as to be more honourable and greater in the world than others. For thy will and the love of thine honour ought to go before all things, and to please and comfort him more than all benefits that are given or may be given to himself. 1. Acts 5, verse 41. Chapter 23. Of four things which bring great peace. My son, now will I teach thee the way of peace and of true liberty. 2. Do, O my Lord, as thou sayest, for this is pleasing unto me to hear. 3. Strive, my son, to do another's will rather than thine own. Choose always to have less rather than more. Seek always after the lowest place, and to be subject to all. Wish always and pray that the will of God be fulfilled in thee. Behold, such a man as this entereth into the inheritance of peace and quietness. 4. O my Lord, this thy short discourse hath in itself much of perfectness. It is short in words, but full of meaning, and abundant in fruit. For if it were possible that I should fully keep it, disturbance would not so easily arise within me. For as often as I feel myself disquieted and weighed down, I find myself to have gone back from this teaching. But thou, who art almighty, and always lovest progress in the soul, vouchsafe more grace, that I may be enabled to fulfill thy exhortation and work out my salvation. A prayer against evil thoughts. 5. O Lord my God, be not thou far from me, my God. Haste thee to help me, for many thoughts and great fears have risen up against me, afflicting my soul. How shall I pass through them unhurt? How shall I break through them? 6. I, saith he, will go before thee, and make the crooked places straight. 2. I will open the prison doors, and reveal to thee the secret places. 7. Do, Lord, as thou sayest, and let all evil thoughts fly away before thy face. This is my hope and my only comfort, to fly unto thee in all tribulation, to hope in thee, to call upon thee from my heart, and patiently wait for thy loving kindness. A prayer for enlightenment of the mind. 8. Enlighten me, blessed Jesus, with the brightness of thy inner light, and cast forth all darkness from the habitation of my heart. Restrain my many wandering thoughts, and carry away the temptations which strive to do me hurt. Fight thou mightily for me, and drive forth the evil beasts. So call I alluring lusts, that peace may be within thy walls, and plenteousness of praise within thy palaces. 3. Even in my pure conscience. Command thou the winds and the storm, say unto the sea, be still, say unto the stormy wind, hold thy peace, so shall there be a great calm. 9. O send forth thy light and thy truth, 4, that they may shine upon the earth. For I am but earth without form and void until thou give me light. Pour forth thy grace from above, water my heart with the dew of heaven. Give the waters of devotion to water the face of the earth and cause it to bring forth good and perfect fruit. Lift up my mind which is oppressed with the weight of sins, and raise my whole desire to heavenly things, that having tasted the sweetness of the happiness which is from above, it may take no pleasure in thinking of things of earth. 10. Draw me and deliver me from every unstable comfort of creatures, for no created thing is able to satisfy my desire and to give me comfort. Join me to thyself by the inseparable bond of love. For thou alone art sufficient to him that loveth thee, and without thee all things are vain toys. 1 Psalm 71 verse 12, 2 Isaiah 45 verse 2, 3 Psalm 122 verse 7, 4 Psalm 43 verse 3, chapter 24. Of avoiding curious inquiry into the life of another. My son, be not curious, nor trouble thyself with vain cares. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. For what is it to thee whether a man be this or that, or say or do thus or thus? Thou hast no need to answer for others, but thou must give an answer for thyself. Why therefore dost thou entangle thyself? Behold, I know all men, and I behold all things which are done under the sun, and I know how it standeth with each one, what he thinketh, what he willeth, and to what end his thoughts reach. All things therefore are to be committed to me. Watch thou thyself in godly peace, and leave him who is unquiet to be unquiet as he will. Whatsoever he shall do or say shall come unto him, for he cannot deceive me. 2. Trouble not thyself about the shadow of a great name, nor about the friendship of many, nor about the love of men towards thee. For these things beget distraction and great sorrows of heart. My word should speak freely unto thee, and I would reveal secrets if only thou didst diligently look for my appearing, and didst open unto me the gates of thy heart. Be sober and watch unto prayer, and humble thyself in all things. 1. John 21 verse 22. 2. 1 Peter 4 verse 7, chapter 25, wherein firm peace of heart and true profit consist. My son, I have said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth give I unto you. All men desire peace, but all do not care for the things which belong unto true peace. My peace is with the humble and lowly in heart. Thy peace shall be in much patience. If thou heardest me and didst follow my voice, thou shouldest enjoy much peace. 2. What then shall I do, Lord? 3. In everything take heed to thyself what thou doest, and what thou sayest, and direct all thy purpose to this, that thou please me alone, and desire or seek nothing apart from me. But moreover, judge nothing rashly concerning the words or deeds of others, nor meddle with matters which are not committed to thee. And it may be that thou shalt be disturbed little or rarely, yet never to feel any disquiet, nor to suffer any pain of heart or body. This belongeth not to the present life, but is the state of eternal rest. Therefore count not thyself to have found true peace if thou hast felt no grief, nor that then all is well if thou hast no adversary, nor that this is perfect if all things fall out according to thy desire, nor then reckon thyself to be anything great, or think that thou art specially beloved if thou art in a state of great fervor and sweetness of spirit. For not by these things is the true lover of virtue known, nor in them doth the profit and perfection of man consist. 4. In what then, Lord? 5. In offering thyself with all thy heart to the divine will, in not seeking the things which are thine own, whether great or small, whether temporal or eternal, so that thou remain with the same steady countenance in giving of thanks between prosperity and adversity, weighing all things in an equal balance. If thou be so brave and long-suffering in hope, that when inward comfort is taken from thee, thou even prepare thy heart for the more endurance, and justify not thyself, as though thou oughtest not to suffer these heavy things, but dost justify me in all things that I appoint, and dost bless my holy name, then dost thou walk in the true and right way of peace, and shalt have a sure hope that thou shalt again behold my face with joy. For if thou come to an utter contempt of thyself, know that then thou shalt enjoy abundance of peace, as much as is possible where thou art but a wayfaring man. 1 John 14 verse 27, chapter 26, of the exaltation of a free spirit which humble prayer more deserveth than doth frequent reading. Lord, this is the work of a perfect man, never to slacken his mind from attention to heavenly things, and among many cares to pass along as it were without care, not after the manner of one indifferent, but rather with the privilege of a free mind cleaving to no creature with inordinate affection. 2. I beseech thee, my most merciful Lord God, preserve me from the cares of this life, lest I become too much entangled, from many necessities of the body, lest I be taken captive by pleasure, from all obstacles of the spirit, lest I be broken and cast down with cares, I say not from those things which the vanity of the world goeth about after with all eagerness, but from those miseries which by the universal curse of mortality weigh down and hold back the soul of thy servant in punishment, that it cannot enter into liberty of spirit so often as it would. 3. O my God, sweetness unspeakable, turn into bitterness all my fleshly consolation, which draweth me away from the love of eternal things, and wickedly allureth toward itself, by setting before me some present delight. Let not, O my God, let not flesh and blood prevail over me, let not the world and its short glory deceive me, let not the devil and his craftiness supplant me. Give me courage to resist, patience to endure, constancy to persevere. Grant in place of all consolations of the world, the most sweet unction of thy spirit, and in place of carnal love, pour into me the love of thy name. 4. Behold, food and drink and clothing and all the other needs appertaining to the support of the body are burdensome to the devout spirit. Grant that I may use such things with moderation, and that I be not entangled with inordinate affection for them. To cast away all these things is not lawful, because nature must be sustained, but to require superfluities and things which merely minister delight, the holy law forbiddeth. For otherwise the flesh would wax insolent against the spirit. In all these things I beseech thee, let thy hand guide and teach me, that I in no way exceed. Chapter 27. That personal love greatly hindereth from the highest good. My son, thou must give all for all and be nothing of thine own. Know thou that the love of thyself is more hurtful to thee than anything in the world. According to the love and inclination which thou hast, everything more or less cleaveth to thee. If thy love be pure, sincere, well regulated, thou shalt not be in captivity to anything. Do not covet what thou mayest not have. Do not have what is able to hinder thee, and to rob thee of inward liberty. It is wonderful that thou committest not thyself to me from the very bottom of thy heart, with all things which thou canst desire or have. 2. Why art thou consumed with vain sorrow? Why art thou wearied with superfluous cares? Stand thou by my good pleasure, and thou shalt suffer no loss. If thou seekest after this or that, and wilt be here or there according to thine own advantage or the fulfilling of thine own pleasure, thou shalt never be in quiet nor free from care, because in everything somewhat will be found lacking, and everywhere there will be somebody who opposeth thee. 3. Therefore it is not gaining or multiplying of this thing or that which advantageth thee, but rather the despising it and cutting it by the root out of thy heart, which thou must not only understand of money and riches, but of the desire after honour and vain praise, things which all pass away with the world. The place availeth little if the spirit of devotion is wanting, nor shall that peace stand long which is sought from abroad, if the state of thy heart is without the true foundation, that is, if it abide not in me. Thou mayest change, but thou canst not better thyself. For when occasion ariseth and is accepted, thou shalt find what thou didst fly from, yea more. A prayer for cleansing of the heart and for heavenly wisdom. 4. Strengthen me, O God, by the grace of thy Holy Spirit. Give me virtue to be strengthened with might in the inner man, and to free my heart from all fruitless care and trouble, and that I be not drawn away by various desires after any things whatsoever, whether of little value or great, but that I may look upon all as passing away, and myself as passing away with them, because there is no profit under the sun, and all is vanity and vexation of spirit. 1. O how wise is he that considereth thus! 5. Give me, O Lord, heavenly wisdom, that I may learn to seek thee above all things, and to find thee, to relish thee above all things, and to love thee, and to understand all other things, even as they are, according to the order of thy wisdom. Grant me prudently to avoid the flatterer, and patiently to bear with him that opposeth me. For this is great wisdom, not to be carried by every wind of words, nor to give ear to the wicked flattering siren, for thus do we go safely on in the way we have begun. 1. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 11, chapter 28, Against the Tongues of Detractors. My son, take it not sadly to heart if any think ill of thee and say of thee what thou art unwilling to hear. Thou oughtest to think worse of thyself and to believe no man weaker than thyself. If thou walkest inwardly, thou wilt not weigh flying words above their value. It is no small prudence to keep silence in an evil time and to turn inwardly unto me and not to be troubled by human judgment. 2. Let not thy peace depend upon the word of men, for whether they judge well or ill of thee, thou art not therefore any other man than thyself. Where is true peace or true glory? Is it not in me? And he who seeketh not to please men, nor feareth to displease, shall enjoy abundant peace. From inordinate love and vain fear ariseth all disquietude of heart and all distraction of the senses. Chapter 29. How when tribulation cometh we must call upon and bless God. Blessed be thy name, O Lord, for evermore, who hast willed this temptation and trouble to come upon me. I cannot escape it, but have need to flee unto thee, that thou mayest succour me, and turn it unto me for good. Lord, now am I in tribulation, and it is not well within my heart, but I am sore vexed by the suffering which lieth upon me. And now, O dear Father, what shall I say? I am taken among the snares. Save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour, that thou mightest be glorified when I am deeply humbled and am delivered through thee. Let it be thy pleasure to deliver me. For what can I do who am poor, and without thee whither shall I go? Give patience this time also, help me, O Lord my God, and I will not fear how much soever I be weighed down. 2. And now amid these things what shall I say? Lord, thy will be done. I have well deserved to be troubled and weighed down. Therefore I ought to bear, would that it be with patience, until the tempest be overpast and comfort return. Yet is thine omnipotent arm able also to take this temptation away from me, and to lessen its power that I fall not utterly under it. Even as many a time past thou hast helped me, O God, my merciful God. And as much as this deliverance is difficult to me, so much is it easy to thee, O right hand of the Most Highest. 1. John 12, verse 27. 2. Psalm 40, verse 16. Chapter 30. Of seeking divine help and the confidence of obtaining grace. My son, I, the Lord, am a stronghold in the day of trouble. 1. Come unto me when it is not well with thee. This it is which chiefly hindereth heavenly consolation, that thou too slowly betakest thyself unto prayer. For before thou earnestly seekest unto me, thou dost first seek after many means of comfort, and refresheth thyself in outward things. So it cometh to pass that all things profit thee but little until thou learn that it is I who deliver those who trust in me. Neither beside me is there any strong help, nor profitable counsel, nor enduring remedy. But now, recovering courage after the tempest, grow thou strong in the light of my mercies, for I am nigh, saith the Lord, that I may restore all things not only as they were at the first, but also abundantly and one upon another. 2. For is anything too hard for me, or shall I be like unto one who saith and doeth not? Where is thy faith? Stand fast and with perseverance. Be long-suffering and strong. Consolation will come unto thee in its due season. Wait for me, yea, wait, I will come and heal thee. It is temptation which vexeth thee, and a vain fear which terrifieth thee. What doth care about future events bring thee, save sorrow upon sorrow? Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. It is vain and useless to be disturbed or lifted up about future things which perhaps will never come. 3. But it is the nature of man to be deceived by fancies of this sort, and it is a sign of a mind which is still weak to be so easily drawn away at the suggestion of the enemy. For he careth not whether he deceive and beguile by true means or false, whether he throw thee down by the love of the present or fear of the future. Therefore let not thy heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Believe in me, and put thy trust in my mercy. When thou thinkest thyself far removed from me, I am often the nearer. When thou reckonest that almost all is lost, then often is greater opportunity of gain at hand. All is not lost when something goeth contrary to thy wishes. Thou oughtest not to judge according to present feeling, nor so to take or give way to any grief which befalleth thee, as if all hope of escape were taken away. 4. Think not thyself totally abandoned, although for the time I have sent to thee some tribulation, or have even withdrawn some cherished consolation. For this is the way to the kingdom of heaven. And without doubt it is better for thee and for all my other servants that ye should be proved by adversities, than that ye should have all things as ye would. I know thy hidden thoughts, and that it is very needful for thy soul's health that sometimes thou be left without relish, lest perchance thou be lifted up by prosperity, and desirous to please thyself in that which thou art not. What I have given I am able to take away, and to restore again at my good pleasure. 5. When I shall have given, it is mine. When I shall have taken away, I have not taken what is thine. For every good gift and every perfect gift for is from me. If I shall have sent upon thee grief or any vexation, be not angry, nor let thy heart be sad. I am able quickly to lift thee up and to change every burden into joy. But I am just and greatly to be praised when I do thus unto thee. 6. If thou rightly consider and look upon it with truth, thou oughtest never to be so sadly cast down because of adversity, but rather shouldst rejoice and give thanks. Yea, verily, to count it the highest joy that I afflict thee with sorrows, and spare thee not. As my Father hath loved me, so love I you. 5. Thus have I spoken unto my beloved disciples, whom I sent forth not unto worldly joys, but to great strivings, not unto honors, but unto contempt, not unto ease, but to labors, not unto rest, but to bring forth much fruit with patience, my son. Remember these words. 1. Nahum 1, verse 7. 2. Matthew 6, verse 34, 3, John 14, verse 27, Psalm 13, verse 5, 4, James 1, verse 17, 5, John 15, verse 9, Chapter 31, of the neglect of every creature that the Creator may be found. O Lord, I still need more grace if I would arrive where neither man nor any other creature may hinder me. For so long as anything keepeth me back, I cannot freely fly unto thee. He desired eagerly thus to fly, who cried, saying, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I flee away and be at rest. What is more peaceful than the single eye, and what more free than he that desireth nothing upon earth? Therefore must a man rise above every creature, and perfectly forsake himself, and with abstracted mind to stand and behold that thou, the Creator of all things, hast among thy creatures nothing like unto thyself. And except a man be freed from all creatures, he will not be able to reach freely after divine things. Therefore few are found who give themselves to contemplation, because few know how to separate themselves entirely from perishing and created things. 2. For this much grace is necessary, which may lift up the soul and raise it above itself. And except a man be lifted up in the spirit, and freed from all creatures, and altogether united to God, whatsoever he knoweth, whatsoever even he hath, it mattereth but little. He who esteemeth anything great save the one only incomprehensible, eternal good, shall long time be little and lie low. For whatsoever is not God is nothing, and ought to be counted for nothing. Great is the difference between a godly man illuminated with wisdom, and a scholar learned in knowledge and given to books. Far nobler is that doctrine which floweth down from the divine fullness above, than that which is acquired laboriously by human study. 3. Many are found who desire contemplation, but they do not strive to practice those things which are required thereunto. It is also a great impediment, that much is made of symbols and external signs, and too little of thorough mortification. I know not how it is, and by what spirit we are led, and what we who would be deemed spiritual are aiming at, that we give so great labor and so eager solicitude for transitory and worthless things, and scarcely ever gather our senses together to think at all of our inward condition. 4. Ah me! Forthwith, after a little recollection, we rush out of doors and do not subject our actions to a strict examination. Where our affections are set, we take no heed, and we weep not that all things belonging to us are so defiled. For because all flesh had corrupted itself upon the earth, the great deluge came. Since therefore our inmost affections are very corrupt, it followeth of necessity that our actions also are corrupt, being the index of a deficient inward strength. Out of a pure heart proceedeth the fruit of good living. 5. We demand how much a man hath done, but from how much virtue he acted is not so narrowly considered. We ask if he be strong, rich, handsome, clever, whether he is a good writer, good singer, good workman. But how poor he may be in spirit, how patient and gentle, how devout and meditative, on these things many are silent. Nature looketh upon the outward appearance of a man. Grace turneth its thought to the heart. The former frequently judgeth amiss, the latter trusteth in God, that it may not be deceived. Chapter 32. Of Self-Denial and the Casting Away All Selfishness. My son, thou canst not possess perfect liberty unless thou altogether deny thyself. All they are enslaved who are possessors of riches, they who love themselves, the selfish, the curious, the restless, those who ever seek after soft things and not after the things of Jesus Christ, those who continually plan and devise that which will not stand. For whatsoever cometh not of God shall perish. Hold fast the short and complete saying, renounce all things, and thou shalt find all things. Give up thy lust, and thou shalt find rest. Dwell upon this in thy mind, and when thou art full of it, thou shalt understand all things. 2. O Lord, this is not the work of a day, nor children's play. Verily in this short saying is enclosed all the perfection of the religious. 3. My son, thou oughtest not to be turned aside, nor immediately cast down because thou hast heard the way of the perfect. Rather oughtest thou to be provoked to higher aims, and at the least to long after the desire thereof. O that it were so with thee, and that thou hadst come to this, that thou wert not a lover of thine own self, but wert ready always to my nod, and to his whom I have placed over thee as thy father. Then shouldest thou please me exceedingly, and all thy life should go on in joy and peace. Thou hast still many things to renounce, which if thou resign not utterly to me, thou shalt not gain what thou seekest. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, one that is heavenly wisdom, which despiseth all base things. Put away from thee earthly wisdom, and all pleasure, whether common to men or thine own. 4. I tell thee that thou must buy vile things with those which are costly and great in the esteem of men, for wonderfully vile and small, and almost given up to forgetfulness, doth true heavenly wisdom appear, which thinketh not high things of itself, nor seeketh to be magnified upon the earth. Many honour it with their lips, but in heart are far from it. It is indeed the precious pearl, which is hidden from many. 1. Revelation 3, verse 18. Chapter 33. Of instability of the heart and of directing the aim towards God. My son, trust not thy feeling, for that which is now will be quickly changed into somewhat else. As long as thou livest, thou art subject to change, howsoever unwilling, so that thou art found now joyful, now sad, now at peace, now disquieted, now devout, now indevout, now studious, now careless, now sad, now cheerful. But the wise man, and he who is truly learned in spirit, standeth above these changeable things, attentive not to what he may feel in himself or from what quarter the wind may blow, but that the whole intent of his mind may carry him on to the due and much desired end. For thus will he be able to remain one and the same, and unshaken, the single eye of his desire being steadfastly fixed, through the manifold changes of the world, upon me. 2. But according as the eye of intention be the more pure, even so will a man make his way steadfastly through the manifold storms. But in many the eye of pure intention waxeth dim, for it quickly resteth itself upon anything pleasant which occurreth, and rarely is any man found altogether free from the blemish of self-seeking. So the Jews of old came to Bethany, to the house of Martha and Mary, that they might see not Jesus, but Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. Therefore must the eye of the intention be cleansed, that it may be single and right, and above all things which come in its way, may be directed unto me. 1. John 12, verse 9. Chapter 34. That to him who loveth God is sweet above all things and in all things. Behold, God is mine and all things are mine. What will I more and what more happy thing can I desire? O delightsome and sweet world, that is, to him that loveth the word, not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Cut, my God, my all. To him that understandeth, that word sufficeth, and to repeat it often is pleasing to him that loveth it. When thou art present, all things are pleasant. When thou art absent, all things are wearisome. Thou makest the heart to be at rest, givest it deep peace and festal joy. Thou makest it to think rightly in every matter, and in every matter to give thee praise. Neither can anything please long without thee, but if it would be pleasant and of sweet savour, thy grace must be there, and it is thy wisdom which must give unto it a sweet savour. 2. To him who tasteth thee, what can be distasteful? And to him who tasteth thee not, what is there which can make him joyous? But the worldly wise, and they who enjoy the flesh, these fail in thy wisdom. For in the wisdom of the world is found utter vanity, and to be carnally minded is death. But they who follow after thee through contempt of worldly things and mortification of the flesh are found to be truly wise because they are carried from vanity to verity, from the flesh to the spirit. They taste that the Lord is good, and whatsoever good they find in creatures, they count it all unto the praise of the Creator. Unlike, yea, very unlike is the enjoyment of the Creator to enjoyment of the creature, the enjoyment of eternity and of time, of light uncreated and of light reflected. 3. O light everlasting, surpassing all created lights, dart down thy ray from on high, which shall pierce the inmost depths of my heart. Give purity, joy, clearness, life to my spirit, that with all its powers it may cleave unto thee with rapture passing man's understanding. O when shall that blessed and longed for time come, when thou shalt satisfy me with thy presence, and be unto me all in all? So long as this is delayed, my joy shall not be full. Still, ah me, the old man liveth in me. He is not yet all crucified, not yet quite dead. Still he lusteth fiercely against the spirit, wageth inward wars, nor suffereth the soul's kingdom to be in peace. 4. But thou who rulest the raging of the sea, and stillest the waves thereof when they arise, rise up and help me. Scatter the people that delight in war. 2. Destroy them by thy power. Show forth, I beseech thee, thy might, and let thy right hand be glorified, for I have no hope, no refuge, save in thee, O Lord my God. 1. 1 John 2, verse 15. 2. Psalm 68, verse 30. Chapter 35. That there is no security against temptation in this life. My son, thou art never secure in this life, but thy spiritual armor will always be needful for thee as long as thou livest. Thou dwellest among foes, and art attacked on the right hand and on the left. If therefore thou use not on all sides the shield of patience, thou wilt not remain long unwounded. Above all, if thou keep not thy heart fixed upon me with steadfast purpose to bear all things for my sake, thou shalt not be able to bear the fierceness of the attack, nor to attain to the victory of the blessed. Therefore must thou struggle bravely all thy life through, and put forth a strong hand against those things which oppose thee. For to him that overcometh is the hidden manna given, 1, but great misery is reserved for the slothful. 2. If thou seek rest in this life, how then wilt thou attain unto the rest which is eternal? Set not thyself to attain much rest, but much patience. Seek the true peace, not in earth but in heaven, not in man nor in any created thing, but in God alone. For the love of God thou must willingly undergo all things, whether labors or sorrows, temptations, vexations, anxieties, necessities, infirmities, injuries, gainsayings, rebukes, humiliations, confusions, corrections, despisings. These things help unto virtue. These things prove the scholar of Christ. These things fashion the heavenly crown. I will give thee an eternal reward for short labor, and infinite glory for transient shame. 3. Thinkest thou that thou shalt always have spiritual consolations at thy will? My saints had never such, but instead thereof manifold griefs, and divers temptations, and heavy desolations. But patiently they bore themselves in all, and trusted in God more than in themselves, knowing that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Wouldst thou have that immediately, which many have hardly attained unto after many tears and hard labors? Wait for the Lord, quit thyself like a man and be strong. Be not faint-hearted, nor go aside from me, but constantly devote thy body and soul to the glory of God. I will reward thee plenteously, I will be with thee in trouble. 3. 1. Revelation 2, verse 17. 2. Romans 8, verse 17. 3. Psalm 91, verse 15. Chapter 36, Against Vain Judgments of Men. My son, anchor thy soul firmly upon God, and fear not man's judgment, when conscience pronounceth thee pious and innocent. It is good and blessed thus to suffer, nor will it be grievous to the heart which is humble, and which trusteth in God more than in itself. Many men have many opinions, and therefore little trust is to be placed in them. But moreover it is impossible to please all. Although Paul studied to please all men in the Lord, and to become all things to all men one, yet nevertheless with him it was a very small thing that he should be judged by man's judgment. 2. 2. He labored abundantly as much as in him lay for the building up and the salvation of others, but he could not avoid being sometimes judged and despised by others. Therefore he committed all to God, who knew all, and by patience and humility defended himself against evil speakers, or foolish and false thinkers, and those who accused him according to their pleasure. Nevertheless, from time to time he replied, lest his silence should become a stumbling block to those who were weak. 3. Who art thou, that thou shouldst be afraid of a man that shall die? Today he is, and tomorrow his place is not found. Fear God, and thou shalt not quail before the terrors of men. What can any man do against thee by words or deeds? He hurteth himself more than thee, nor shall he escape the judgment of God, whosoever he may be. Have thou God before thine eyes, and do not contend with fretful words. And if for the present thou seem to give way, and to suffer confusion which thou hast not deserved, be not angry at this, nor by impatience diminish thy reward, but rather look up to me in heaven, for I am able to deliver thee from all confusion and hurt, and to render to every man according to his works. 1. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 22. 2. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 3. Chapter 37. Of pure and entire resignation of self for the obtaining liberty of heart. My son, lose thyself, and thou shalt find me. Stand still without all choosing and all thought of self, and thou shalt ever be a gainer. For more grace shall be added to thee, as soon as thou resignest thyself, and so long as thou dost not turn back to take thyself again. 2. O Lord, how often shall I resign myself, and in what things shall I lose myself? 3. Always, every hour, in that which is little and in that which is great, I make no exception, but will that thou be found naked in all things. Otherwise how canst thou be mine and I thine, unless thou be inwardly and outwardly free from every will of thine own? The sooner thou dost this, the better shall it be with thee, and the more fully and sincerely, the more thou shalt please me, and the more abundantly shalt thou be rewarded. 4. Some resign themselves, but with certain reservations, for they do not fully trust in God, therefore they think that they have some provision to make for themselves. Some again at first offer everything, but afterwards being pressed by temptation they return to their own devices and thus make no progress in virtue. They will not attain to the true liberty of a pure heart, nor to the grace of my sweet companionship, unless they first entirely resign themselves and daily offer themselves up as a sacrifice. Without this the union which bringeth forth fruit standeth not, nor will stand. 5. Many a time I have said unto thee, and now say again, give thyself up, resign thyself, and thou shalt have great inward peace. Give all for all, demand nothing, ask nothing in return, stand simply and with no hesitation in me, and thou shalt possess me. Thou shalt have liberty of heart, and the darkness shall not overwhelm thee. For this strive thou, pray for it, long after it, that thou mayest be delivered from all possession of thyself, and nakedly follow Jesus who was made naked for thee, mayest die unto thyself and live eternally to me. Then shall all vain fancies disappear, all evil disturbings and superfluous cares. Then also shall immoderate fear depart from thee, and inordinate love shall die. Chapter 38. Of a good government in external things, and of having recourse to God in dangers. My son, for this thou must diligently make thy endeavour, that in every place and outward action or occupation thou mayest be free within, and have power over thyself, and that all things be under thee, not thou under them, that thou be master and ruler of thy actions, not a slave or hireling, but rather a free and true Hebrew, entering into the lot and the liberty of the children of God, who stand above the present and look upon the eternal, who with the left eye behold things transitory and with the right things heavenly, whom temporal things draw not to cleave unto, but who rather draw temporal things to do them good service, even as they were ordained of God to do and appointed by the master workman, who hath left naught in his creation without aim and end. 2. And if in any chance of life thou stand not in outward appearances, nor judgest things which are seen and heard by the fleshly sense, but straightway in every cause enterest with Moses into the tabernacle to ask counsel of God, thou shalt hear a divine response and come forth instructed concerning many things that are and shall be. For always Moses had recourse to the tabernacle for the solving of all doubts and questionings, and fled to the help of prayer to be delivered from the dangers and evil deeds of men. Thus also oughtest thou to fly to the secret chamber of thy heart, and earnestly implore the divine succour. For this cause we read that Joshua and the children of Israel were deceived by the Gibeonites, that they asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord, one, but being too ready to listen to fair speeches, were deceived by pretended piety. 1. Joshua 9, verse 14. Chapter 39. That man must not be immersed in business. My son, always commit thy cause to me. I will dispose it aright in due time. Wait for my arrangement of it, and then thou shalt find it for thy profit. 2. O Lord, right freely I commit all things to thee, for my planning can profit but little. Oh, that I did not dwell so much on future events, but could offer myself altogether to thy pleasures without delay. 3. My son, a man often striveth vehemently after somewhat which he desireth, but when he hath obtained it, he beginneth to be of another mind, because his affections towards it are not lasting, but rather rush on from one thing to another. Therefore it is not really a small thing when in small things we resist self. 4. The true progress of man lieth in self-denial, and a man who denieth himself is free and safe. But the old enemy, opposer of all good things, ceaseth not from temptation, but day and night setteth his wicked snares, if haply he may be able to entrap the unwary. Watch and pray, saith the Lord, lest ye enter into temptation. 1. 1. Matthew 26, verse 41. Chapter 40. That man hath no good in himself, and nothing whereof to glory. Lord, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? What hath man deserved that thou shouldest bestow thy favour upon him? Lord, what cause can I have of complaint if thou forsake me? Or what can I justly allege if thou refuse to hear my petition? Of a truth, this I may truly think and say, Lord, I am nothing, I have nothing that is good of myself, but I fall short in all things, and ever tend unto nothing. And unless I am helped by thee and inwardly supported, I become altogether lukewarm and reckless. 2. But thou, O Lord, art always the same, and endurest for ever, always good, righteous, and holy, doing all things well, righteously, and holily, and disposing all in thy wisdom. But I, who am more ready to go forward than backward, never continue in one stay, because changes sevenfold pass over me. Yet it quickly becometh better when it so pleaseth thee, and thou puttest forth thy hand to help me. Because thou alone canst aid without help of man, and canst so strengthen me that my countenance shall be no more changed, but my heart shall be turned to thee, and rest in thee alone. 3. Wherefore, if I but knew well how to reject all human consolations, whether for the sake of gaining devotion, or because of the necessity by which I was compelled to seek thee, seeing there is no man who can comfort me, then could I worthily trust in thy grace and rejoice in the gift of new consolation. 4. Thanks be to thee, from whom all cometh, whensoever it goeth well with me. But I am vanity and nothing in thy sight, a man inconstant and weak. What then have I whereof to glory, or why do I long to be held in honour? Is it not for naught? This also is utterly vain. Verily, vain glory is an evil plague, the greatest of vanities, because it draweth us away from the true glory, and robbeth us of heavenly grace. For whilst a man pleaseth himself, he displeaseth thee. Whilst he gapeth after the praises of man, he is deprived of true virtues. 5. But true glory and holy rejoicing lieth in glorying in thee, and not in self, in rejoicing in thy name, not in our own virtue, in not taking delight in any creature, save only for thy sake. Let thy name, not mine, be praised. Let thy work, not mine, be magnified. Let thy holy name be blessed. But to me let nought be given of the praises of men. Thou art my glory. Thou art the joy of my heart. In thee will I make my boast and be glad all the day long, but for myself let me not glory save only in my infirmities. 2. 6. Let the Jews seek the honour which cometh from one another, but I will ask for that which cometh from God only. 3. Truly all human glory, all temporal honour, all worldly exaltation, compared to thy eternal glory, is but vanity and folly. O God, my truth and my mercy, blessed Trinity, to thee alone be all praise, honour, power, and glory, for ever and for ever. Amen. 1. Psalm 8, verse 4, 2. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 5, 3. John 5, verse 44, chapter 41, and of contempt of all temporal honour. My son, make it no matter of thine if thou see others honoured and exalted, and thyself despised and humbled. Lift up thine heart to me in heaven, and then the contempt of men upon earth will not make thee sad. 2. O Lord, we are in blindness and are quickly seduced by vanity. If I look rightly within myself, never was injury done unto me by any creature, and therefore I have naught whereof to complain before thee. But because I have many times and grievously sinned against thee, all creatures do justly take arms against me. Therefore to me confusion and contempt are justly due, but to thee praise and honor and glory. And except I dispose myself for this, namely to be willing that every creature should despise and desert me, and that I should be esteemed altogether as nothing, I cannot be inwardly filled with peace and strength, nor spiritually enlightened, nor fully united to thee. Chapter 42. That our peace is not to be placed in men. My son, if thou set thy peace on any person because thou hast high opinion of him, and art familiar with him, thou shalt be unstable and entangled. But if thou betake thyself to the ever-living and abiding truth, the desertion or death of a friend shall not make thee sad. In me ought the love of thy friend to subsist, and for my sake is every one to be loved, whosoever he be who appeareth to thee good, and is very dear to thee in this life. Without me friendship hath no strength or endurance, neither is that love true and pure, which I unite not. Thou oughtest to be so dead to such affections of beloved friends, that as far as in thee lieth, thou wouldst rather choose to be without any companionship of men. The nearer a man approacheth to God, the further he recedeth from all earthly solace. The deeper also he descendeth into himself, and the viler he appeareth in his own eyes, the higher he ascendeth towards God. 2. But he who attributeth anything good to himself hindereth the grace of God from coming to him, because the grace of the Holy Ghost ever seeketh the humble heart. If thou couldst make thyself utterly nothing and empty thyself of the love of every creature, then should it be my part to overflow unto thee with great grace. When thou settest thine eyes upon creatures, the face of the Creator is withdrawn from thee. Learn in all things to conquer thyself for thy Creator's sake, then shalt thou be able to attain unto divine knowledge. How small soever anything be, if it be loved and regarded inordinately, it holdeth us back from the highest good, and corrupteth. Chapter 43 Against Vain and Worldly Knowledge. My son, let not the fair and subtle sayings of men move thee, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Give ear to my words, for they kindle the heart and enlighten the mind. They bring contrition, and they supply manifold consolations. Never read thou the word that thou mayest appear more learned or wise, but study for the mortification of thy sins, for this will be far more profitable for thee than the knowledge of many difficult questions. 2. When thou hast read and learned many things, thou must always return to one first principle. I am he that teacheth man knowledge, and I give unto babes clearer knowledge than can be taught by man. He to whom I speak will be quickly wise and shall grow much in the spirit. Woe unto them who inquire into many curious questions from men, and take little heed concerning the way of my service. The time will come when Christ will appear, the Master of Masters, the Lord of the angels, to hear the lessons of all, that is to examine the consciences of each one. And then will he search Jerusalem with candles, and the hidden things of darkness shall be made manifest, and the arguings of tongues shall be silent. 3. I am he who in an instant lift up the humble spirit, to learn more reasonings of the eternal truth, than if a man had studied 10 years in the schools. I teach without noise of words, without confusion of opinions, without striving after honor, without clash of arguments. I am he who teach men to despise earthly things, to loathe things present, to seek things heavenly, to enjoy things eternal, to flee honors, to endure offenses, to place all hope in me, to desire nothing apart from me, and above all things to love me ardently. 4. For there was one who, by loving me from the bottom of his heart, learned divine things, and spake things that were wonderful. He profited more by forsaking all things than by studying subtleties. But to some I speak common things, to others special, to some I appear gently in signs and figures, and again to some I reveal mysteries in much light. The voice of books is one, but it informeth not all alike, because I inwardly am the teacher of truth, the searcher of the heart, the discerner of the thoughts, the mover of actions, distributing to each man as I judge meet. 1. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 20, 2. Psalm 94 verse 10, 3. Zephaniah 1 verse 12, 4. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 5, Chapter 44. Of not troubling ourselves about outward things. My son, in many things it behoveth thee to be ignorant and to esteem thyself as one dead upon the earth, and as one to whom the whole world is crucified. Many things also thou must pass by with deaf ear, and must rather think upon those things which belong unto thy peace. It is more profitable to turn away thine eyes from those things that displease, and to leave each man to his own opinion, than to give thyself to discourses of strife. If thou stand well with God and hast his judgment in thy mind, thou wilt verily easily bear to be as one conquered. 2. O Lord, to what have we come? Behold, a temporal loss is mourned over. For a trifling gain we labor and hurry, and spiritual loss passeth away into forgetfulness, and we rarely recover it. That which profiteth little or nothing is looked after, and that which is altogether necessary is negligently passed by, because the whole man slideth away to outward things, and unless he quickly recovereth himself in outward things, he willingly lieth down. Chapter 45. That we must not believe everyone, and that we are prone to fall in our words. Lord, be thou my help in trouble, for vain is the help of man. How often have I failed to find faithfulness where I thought I possessed it? How many times I have found it where I least expected. Vain therefore is hope in men, but the salvation of the just, O God, is in thee. Blessed be thou, O Lord my God, in all things which happen unto us. We are weak and unstable, we are quickly deceived and quite changed. 2. Who is the man who is able to keep himself so warily and circumspectly as not sometimes to come into some snare of perplexity? But he who trusteth in thee, O Lord, and seeketh thee with an unfeigned heart doth not so easily slip. And if he fall into any tribulation, howsoever he may be entangled, yet very quickly he shall be delivered through thee, or by thee shall be comforted, because thou wilt not forsake him that trusteth in thee unto the end. A friend who continueth faithful in all the distresses of his friend is rare to be found. Thou, O Lord, thou alone art most faithful in all things, and there is none other like unto thee. 3. Oh, how truly wise was that holy soul which said, My mind is steadfastly fixed, and it is grounded in Christ. 2. If thus it were with me, the fear of man should not so easily tempt me, nor the arrows of words move me. Who is sufficient to foresee all things, who to guard beforehand against future ills? If even things which are foreseen sometimes hurt us, what can things which are not foreseen do but grievously injure? But wherefore have I not better provided for myself, miserable that I am? Why, too, have I given such heed to others? But we are men, nor are we other than frail men, even though by many we are reckoned and called angels. Whom shall I trust, O Lord, whom shall I trust but thee? Thou art the truth, and deceivest not, nor canst be deceived. And on the other hand, every man is a liar, true, weak, unstable, and frail, especially in his words, so that one ought scarcely ever to believe what seemeth to sound right on the face of it. 4. With what wisdom hast thou warned us beforehand to beware of men, and that a man's foes are they of his own household, and that we must not believe if one say unto us, Lo here, or Lo there. I have been taught by my loss, and oh, that I may prove more careful and not foolish hereby. Be cautious, saith someone, be cautious, keep unto thyself what I tell thee. And whilst I am silent and believe that it is hid with me, he himself cannot keep silence concerning it, but straightway betrayeth me and himself, and goeth his way. Protect me, O Lord, from such mischief-making and reckless men. Let me not fall into their hands, nor ever do such things myself. Put a true and steadfast word into my mouth, and remove a deceitful tongue far from me. What I would not suffer, I ought by all means to beware of doing. 5. Oh, how good and peacemaking a thing it is to be silent concerning others, and not carelessly to believe all reports, nor to hand them on further. How good also to lay oneself open to few, to seek ever to have thee as the beholder of the heart, not to be carried about with every wind of words, but to desire that all things inward and outward be done according to the good pleasure of thy will. How safe for the preserving of heavenly grace to fly from human approval, and not to long after the things which seem to win admiration abroad, but to follow with all earnestness those things which bring amendment of life and heavenly fervour. How many have been injured by their virtue being made known and too hastily praised. How truly profitable hath been grace preserved in silence in this frail life, which, as we are told, is all temptation and warfare. 1. Psalm 60, verse 11. 2. St. Agatha. 3. Psalm 116, verse 11. Romans 3, verse 4. 4. Matthew 10, verse 17-36. 5. Matthew 24, verse 23. Chapter 46 of Having Confidence in God When Evil Words Are Cast at Us. My son, stand fast and believe in me, for what are words but words? They fly through the air, but they bruise no stone. If thou art guilty, think how thou wouldst gladly amend thyself. If thou knowest nothing against thyself, consider that thou wilt gladly bear this for God's sake. It is little enough that thou sometimes hast to bear hard words, for thou art not yet able to bear hard blows. And wherefore do such trivial matters go to thine heart, except that thou art yet carnal and regardest men more than thou oughtest? For because thou fearest to be despised, thou art unwilling to be reproved for thy faults, and seekest paltry shelters of excuses. 2. But look better into thyself, and thou shalt know that the world is still alive in thee, and the vain love of pleasing men. For when thou fleest away from being abased and confounded for thy faults, it is plain that thou art neither truly humble nor truly dead to the world, and that the world is not crucified to thee. But hearken to my word, and thou shalt not care for 10,000 words of men. Behold, if all things could be said against thee which the utmost malice could invent, what should it hurt thee if thou wert altogether to let it go, and make no more account of it than of a mote? Could it pluck out a single hair of thy head? 3. But he that hath no heart within him, and hath not God before his eyes, is easily moved by a word of reproach. But he who trusteth in me, and seeketh not to abide by his own judgment, shall be free from the fear of men. For I am the judge and the discerner of all secrets. I know how the thing hath been done. I know both the injurer and the bearer. From me went forth that word. By my permission this hath happened, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. I shall judge the guilty and the innocent, but beforehand I have willed to try them both by a secret judgment. 4. The testimony of men often deceiveth. My judgment is true, it will stand, and it shall not be overturned. It commonly lieth hid, and only to few in certain cases is it made known. Yet it never erreth, nor can err, although it seem not right to the eyes of foolish men. To me, therefore, must men have recourse in all judgment, and must not lean to their opinion. For there shall no evil happen to the just, too, whatsoever may be sent to him by God. Even though some unjust charge be brought against him, he will care little, nor again will he exult above measure, if through others he be clearly vindicated. For he considereth that I am he who try the hearts and reins, 3. Who judge not outwardly and according to human appearance. For often in mine eyes that is found blameworthy, which in the judgment of men is held worthy of praise. 5. O Lord God, O Judge, just, strong, and patient, who knowest the frailty and sinfulness of men, be thou my strength and my whole confidence, for my own conscience sufficeth me not. Thou knowest what I know not, and therefore ought I under all rebuke to humble myself and to bear it meekly. Therefore mercifully forgive me as often as I have not done this, and grant me the next time the grace of greater endurance. For better unto me is thine abundant pity for the attainment of thy pardon than the righteousness which I believe myself to have for defence against my conscience, which lieth weight against me. Although I know nothing against myself, yet I am not hereby justified for. Because if thy mercy were removed away, in thy sight should no man living be justified. 5:1. Luke 2, verse 35. 2. Proverbs 12, verse 21. 3. Psalm 7, verse 9. 4. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 4. 5. Psalm 143, verse 2. Chapter 47. That all troubles are to be endured for the sake of eternal life. My son, let not the labors which thou hast undertaken for me break thee down, nor let tribulations cast thee down in any wise, but let my promise strengthen and comfort thee in every event. I am sufficient to reward thee above all measure and extent. Not long shalt thou labor here, nor always be weighed down with sorrows. Wait yet a little while, and thou shalt see a speedy end of thine evils. An hour shall come when all labor and confusion shall cease. Little and short is all that passeth away with time. 2. Do earnestly what thou dost. Labor faithfully in my vineyard. I will be thy reward. Write, read, sing, weep, be silent, pray, endure adversities manfully. Eternal life is worthy of all these conflicts, yea, and of greater. Peace shall come in one day which is known to the Lord, which shall be neither day nor night, one, but light eternal, infinite clearness, steadfast peace, and undisturbed rest. Thou shalt not say then, Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? 2. Nor cry out, Woe is me, for my sojourning is prolonged. 3. Because death will be utterly destroyed, and there shall be salvation which can never fail. No more anxiety, happy delight, sweet and noble society. 3. Oh, if thou sawest the unfading crowns of the saints in heaven, and with what great glory they now rejoice, who aforetime were reckoned by this world contemptibly, and as it were unworthy of life, truly thou wouldst immediately humble thyself even to the earth, and wouldst desire rather to be in subjection to all than to have authority over one. Nor wouldst thou long for pleasant days of this life, but wouldst more rejoice to be afflicted for God's sake, and wouldst esteem it gain to be counted for naught amongst men. 4. Oh, if these things were sweet to thy taste, and moved thee to the bottom of thine heart, how shouldst thou dare even once to complain? Are not all laborious things to be endured for the sake of eternal life? It is no small thing the losing or gaining the kingdom of God. Lift up therefore thy face to heaven. Behold, I and all my saints with me, who in this world had a hard conflict, now rejoice, are now comforted, are now secure, are now at peace, and shall remain with me evermore in the kingdom of my Father. 1. Zechariah 14, verse 7. 2. Romans 7, verse 24. 3. Psalm 120, chapter 48. Of the day of eternity and of the straitnesses of this life. O most blessed mansion of the city which is above, O most clear day of eternity which the night obscureth not, but the supreme truth ever enlighteneth. Day always joyful, always secure, and never changing its state into those which are contrary. O would that this day might shine forth, and that all these temporal things would come to an end. It shineth indeed upon the saints, glowing with unending brightness, but only from afar and through a glass, upon those who are pilgrims on the earth. 2. The citizens of heaven know how glorious that day is. The exiled sons of Eve groan, because this is bitter and wearisome. The days of this life are few and evil, full of sorrows and straits, where man is defiled with many sins, ensnared with many passions, bound fast with many fears, wearied with many cares, distracted with many questionings, entangled with many vanities, compassed about with many errors, worn away with many labors, weighed down with temptations, enervated by pleasures, tormented by poverty. 3. Oh, when shall there be an end of these evils? When shall I be delivered from the wretched slavery of my sins? When shall I be mindful, O Lord, of Thee alone? When shall I rejoice in Thee to the full? When shall I be in true liberty without any impediment, without any burden on mind or body? When shall there be solid peace? Peace immovable and secure, peace within and without, peace firm on every side. Blessed Jesus, when shall I stand to behold Thee? When shall I gaze upon the glory of Thy kingdom? When shalt Thou be to me all in all? O, when shall I be with Thee in Thy kingdom, which Thou hast prepared from the foundation of the world for them that love Thee? I am left destitute, an exile in a hostile land, where are daily wars and grievous misfortunes. 4. Console my exile, mitigate my sorrow, for towards thee all my desire longeth. For all is to me a burden, whatsoever this world offereth for consolation. I yearn to enjoy thee intimately, but I cannot attain unto it. I long to cleave to heavenly things, but temporal things and unmortified passions press me down. In my mind I would be above all things, but in my flesh I am unwillingly compelled to be beneath them. So wretched man that I am, I fight with myself, and am made grievous even unto myself, while the spirit seeketh to be above, and the flesh to be beneath. 5. Oh, how I suffer inwardly, while with the mind I discourse on heavenly things, and presently a crowd of carnal things rusheth upon me whilst I pray. My God, be not thou far from me, nor depart in wrath from thy servant. Cast forth thy lightning and scatter them, send out thine arrows, and let all delusions of my enemy be confounded. Recall my senses unto thyself, cause me to forget all worldly things. Grant me quickly to cast away and despise the imaginations of sin. Succor me, O eternal truth, that no vanity may move me. Come unto me, O heavenly sweetness, and let all impurity flee from before thy face. Pardon me also, and of thy mercy deal gently with me. Whensoever in prayer I think on anything besides thee, for truly I confess that I am wont to be continually distracted. For often and often, where in the body I stand or sit, there I myself am not. But rather am I there, whither I am borne by my thoughts. Where my thought is, there am I. And there commonly is my thought where that which I love is. that readily occurreth to me, which naturally delighteth or pleaseth through custom. 6. Wherefore thou, who art the truth, hast plainly said, Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If I love heaven, I gladly meditate on heavenly things. If I love the world, I rejoice in the delights of the world, and am made sorry by its adversities. If I love the flesh, I am continually imagining the things which belong to the flesh. If I love the spirit, I am delighted by meditating on spiritual things. For whatsoever things I love, on these I readily converse and listen, and carry home with me the images of them. But blessed is that man who for thy sake, O Lord, is willing to part from all creatures, who doth violence to his fleshly nature, and crucifieth the lusts of the flesh by the fervour of his spirit, so that with serene conscience he may offer unto thee a pure prayer, and be made worthy to enter into the angelic choirs, having shut out from himself, both outwardly and inwardly, all worldly things. 1. Psalm 71, verse 12, to 2. Matthew 6, verse 21, the chapter 49. Of the desire after eternal life, and how great blessings are promised to those who strive. My son, when thou feelest the desire of eternal happiness to be poured into thee from above, and longest to depart from the tabernacle of this body, that thou mayest contemplate my glory without shadow of turning, enlarge thine heart and take in this holy inspiration with all thy desire. Give most hearty thanks to the supreme goodness, who dealeth with thee so graciously, visiteth thee so lovingly, stirreth thee up so fervently, raiseth thee so powerfully, lest thou sink down through thine own weight to earthly things. For not by thine own meditating or striving dost thou receive this gift, but by the sole gracious condescension of supreme grace and divine regard, to the end that thou mayest make progress in virtue and in more humility, and prepare thyself for future conflicts, and cleave unto me with all the affection of thy heart, and strive to serve me with fervent will. 2. My son, often the fire burneth, but the flame ascendeth not without smoke. So also the desires of some men burn towards heavenly things, and yet they are not free from the temptation of carnal affection. Thus therefore they are not acting with an altogether simple desire for God's glory when they pray to him so earnestly. Such too is oftentimes thy desire, when thou hast imagined it to be so earnest. For that is not pure and perfect which is tainted with thine own self-seeking. 3. Seek thou not what is pleasant and advantageous to thyself, but what is acceptable and honourable unto me. For if thou judgest rightly, thou must choose and follow after my appointment, rather than thine own desire, yea, rather than anything that can be desired. I know thy desire, and I have heard thy many groanings. Already thou longest to be in the glorious liberty of the children of God. Already the eternal home delighteth thee, and the heavenly country full of joy. But the hour is not yet come. There remaineth still another season, even a season of warfare, a season of labour and probation. Thou desirest to be filled with the chief good, but thou canst not attain it immediately. I am that good. Wait for me until the kingdom of God shall come. 4. Thou must still be tried upon earth and be exercised in many things. Consolation shall from time to time be given thee, but abundant satisfying shall not be granted. Be strong, therefore, and be thou brave both in working and in suffering things which are against thy nature. Thou must put on the new man, and be changed into another man. Thou must often do what thou wouldst not, and thou must leave undone what thou wouldst do. What pleaseth others shall have good success, what pleaseth thee shall have no prosperity. What others say shall be listened to, what thou sayest shall receive no heed. Others shall ask and receive, thou shalt ask and not obtain. Others shall be great in the report of men, but about thee shall nothing be spoken. To others this or that shall be entrusted. Thou shalt be judged useful for naught. 5. For this cause nature shall sometimes be filled with sadness, and it is a great thing if thou bear it silently. In this and many like things the faithful servant of the Lord is wont to be tried, how far he is able to deny himself and bring himself into subjection in all things. Scarcely is there anything in which thou hast need to mortify thyself so much as in seeing things which are adverse to thy will, especially when things are commanded thee to be done which seem to thee inexpedient or of little use to thee. And because thou darest not resist a higher power, being under authority, therefore it seemeth hard for thee to shape thy course according to the nod of another and to forego thine own opinion. 6. But consider, my son, the fruit of these labours, the swift end, and the reward exceeding great, and thou shalt find it no pain to bear them then, but rather the strongest solace of thy patience. For even in exchange for this trifling desire which thou hast readily forsaken, thou shalt always have thy will in heaven. There verily thou shalt find all that thou wouldst, all that thou canst long for. There thou shalt have all good within thy power without the fear of losing it. There thy will, ever at one with mine, shall desire nothing outward, nothing for itself. There no man shall withstand thee, none shall complain of thee, none shall hinder, nothing shall stand in thy path, but all things desired by thee shall be present together and shall refresh thy whole affection and fill it up even to the brim. There I will glory for the scorn suffered here, the garment of praise for sorrow, and for the lowest place a throne in the kingdom forever. There shall appear the fruit of obedience, the labor of repentance shall rejoice, and humble subjection shall be crowned gloriously. 7. Now therefore bow thyself humbly under the hands of all men, nor let it trouble thee who said this or who ordered that, but take special heed that whether thy superior, thy inferior, or thy equal require anything from thee, or even show a desire for it. Take it all in good part, and study with a good will to fulfill the desire. Let one seek this, another that. Let this man glory in this, and that man in that, and be praised 1,000,000 times, but rejoice thou only in the contempt of thyself, and in mine own good pleasure and glory. This is what thou art to long for, even that whether by life or by death, God may be ever magnified in thee. 1. 1. Philippians 1, verse 20, chapter 50. How a desolate man ought to commit himself into the hands of God. O Lord, Holy Father, be thou blessed now and evermore, because as thou wilt, so it is done, and what thou doest is good. Let thy servant rejoice in thee, not in himself nor in any other, because thou alone art the true joy, thou art my hope and my crown. Thou art my joy and my honour, O Lord. What hath thy servant, which he received not from thee, even without merit of his own? Thine are all things which thou hast given, and which thou hast made. I am poor and in misery even from my youth up, and my soul is sorrowful unto tears. Sometimes also it is disquieted within itself because of the sufferings which are coming upon it. 2. I long after the joy of peace, for the peace of thy children do I beseech, for in the light of thy comfort they are fed by thee. If thou give peace, if thou pour into me holy joy, the soul of thy servant shall be full of melody and devout in thy praise. But if thou withdraw thyself as too often thou art wont, he will not be able to run in the way of thy commandments, but rather he will smite his breast and will bow his knees, because it is not with him as yesterday and the day before when thy candle shined upon his head. 2. And he walked under the shadow of thy wings. 3. From the temptations which beset him. 3. O Father, righteous and ever to be praised, the hour cometh when thy servant is to be proved. O beloved Father, it is well that in this hour thy servant suffer somewhat for thy sake. O Father, evermore to be adored, as the hour cometh which thou foreknewest from everlasting, when for a little while thy servant should outwardly bow down, but always live inwardly with thee, when for a little while he should be little regarded, humbled, and fail in the eyes of men, should be wasted with sufferings and weaknesses, to rise again with thee in the dawn of the new light, and be glorified in the heavenly places. O Holy Father, thou hast ordained it so, and so hast willed it, and that is done which thou thyself hast commanded. 4. For this is thy favour to thy friend, that he should suffer and be troubled in the world for thy love's sake, how often soever, and by whomsoever, and whosoever thou hast suffered it to be done. Without thy counsel and providence, and without cause, nothing cometh to pass on the earth. It is good for me, Lord, that I had been in trouble, that I may learn thy statutes, and may cast away all pride of heart and presumption. It is profitable for me that confusion hath covered my face, that I may seek to thee for consolation rather than unto men. By this also I have learned to dread thine unsearchable judgment, who afflictest the just with the wicked, but not without equity and justice. 5. Thanks be unto thee, because thou hast not spared my sins, but hast beaten me with stripes of love, inflicting pains and sending troubles upon me without and within. There is none who can console me of all things which are under heaven but thou only, O Lord my God, thou heavenly physician of souls, who dost scourge and hast mercy, who leadest down to hell and bringest up again. 5. Thy discipline over me, and thy rod itself shall teach me. 6. Behold, O beloved Father, I am in thy hands. I bow myself under the rod of thy correction. Smite my back and my neck, that I may bend my crookedness to thy will. Make me a pious and lowly disciple, as thou wert wont to be kind, that I may walk according to every nod of thine. To thee I commend myself, and all that I have for correction. Better is it to be punished here than hereafter. Thou knowest all things and each of them, and nothing remaineth hid from thee in man's conscience. Before they are, thou knowest that they will be, and thou needest not that any man teach thee or admonish thee concerning the things which are done upon the earth. Thou knowest what is expedient for my profit, and how greatly trouble serveth unto the scrubbing off the rust of sin. Do with me according to thy desired good pleasure, and despise not my life which is full of sin, known to none so entirely and fully as to thee alone. 7. Grant me, O Lord, to know that which ought to be known, to love that which ought to be loved, to praise that which pleaseth thee most, to esteem that which is precious in thy sight, to blame that which is vile in thine eyes. Suffer me not to judge according to the sight of bodily eyes, nor to give sentence according to the hearing of the ears of ignorant men, but to discern in true judgment between visible and spiritual things, and above all things to be ever seeking after the will of thy good pleasure. 8. Oftentimes the senses of men are deceived in judging. The lovers of the world also are deceived in that they love only visible things. What is a man better because by man he is reckoned very great? The deceiver deceiveth the deceiver, the vain man the vain, the blind man the blind, the weak man the weak, when they exalt one another, and in truth they rather put to shame while they foolishly praise. For as humble Saint Francis saith, what each one is in thine eyes, so much he is, and no more. Chiram 1, Psalm 88, verse 15. 2, Job 29, verse 3. 3, Psalm 17, verse 8. 4, Psalm 119, verse 71. 5, Job 13, verse 2. Chapter 51. That we must give ourselves to humble works when we are unequal to those that are lofty. My son, thou art not always able to continue in very fervent desire after virtues, nor to stand fast in the loftier region of contemplation, but thou must of necessity sometimes descend to lower things because of thine original corruption and bear about the burden of corruptible life, though unwillingly and with weariness. So long as thou wearest a mortal body, thou shalt feel weariness and heaviness of heart. Therefore thou oughtest to groan often in the flesh because of the burden of the flesh, inasmuch as thou canst not give thyself to spiritual studies and divine contemplation unceasingly. 2. At such a time it is expedient for thee to flee to humble and external works, and to renew thyself with good actions, to wait for my coming and heavenly visitation with sure confidence, to bear thy exile and drought of mind with patience until thou be visited by me again, and be freed from all anxieties. For I will cause thee to forget thy labors, and altogether to enjoy eternal peace. I will spread open before thee the pleasant pastures of the Scriptures, that with enlarged heart thou mayest begin to run in the way of my commandments. And thou shalt say, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. 1. Romans 8, verse 18. Chapter 52. That a man ought not to reckon himself worthy of consolation, but more worthy of chastisement. O Lord, I am not worthy of thy consolation, nor of any spiritual visitation, and therefore thou dealest justly with me, when thou leavest me poor and desolate. For if I were able to pour forth tears like the sea, still should I not be worthy of thy consolation. Therefore am I nothing worthy save to be scourged and punished, because I have grievously and many a time offended thee, and in many things have greatly sinned. Therefore, true account being taken, I am not worthy even of the least of thy consolations. But thou, gracious and merciful God, who willest not that thy works should perish, to show forth the riches of thy mercy upon the vessels of mercy, 1. Vouchsafest even beyond all his own deserving to comfort thy servant above the measure of mankind, for thy consolations are not like unto the discoursings of men. 2. What have I done, O Lord, that thou shouldst bestow any heavenly comfort upon me? I remember not that I have done any good, but have been ever prone to sin and slow to amendment. It is true, and I cannot deny it. If I should say otherwise, thou wouldst rise up against me, and there would be none to defend me. What have I deserved for my sins but hell and everlasting fire? In very truth I confess that I am worthy of all scorn and contempt, nor is it fit that I should be remembered among thy faithful servants. And although I be unwilling to hear this, Nevertheless, I will, for the truth's sake, accuse myself of my sins, that the more readily I may prevail to be accounted worthy of thy mercy. 3. What shall I say guilty that I am, and filled with confusion? I have no mouth to utter, unless it be this word alone, I have sinned, Lord, I have sinned, have mercy upon me, forgive me. Let me alone, that I may take comfort a little before I go whence I shall not return even to the land of darkness and the shadow of death. 2. What dost thou so much require of a guilty and miserable sinner, as that he be contrite, and humble himself for his sins? In true contrition and humiliation of heart is begotten the hope of pardon. The troubled conscience is reconciled, lost grace is recovered, a man is preserved from the wrath to come, and God and the penitent soul hasten to meet each other with a holy kiss. 3. 4. The humble contrition of sinners is an acceptable sacrifice unto thee, O Lord, sending forth a smell sweeter far in thy sight than the incense. This also is that pleasant ointment which thou wouldst have poured upon thy sacred feet, for a broken and contrite heart thou hast never despised. 4. There is the place of refuge from the wrathful countenance of the enemy. There is amended and washed away whatsoever evil hath elsewhere been contracted. 1 Romans 9 verse 23, 2 Job 10 verse 20, 21, 3 Luke 15 verse 20, 4 Psalm 51 verse 17. Chapter 53. That the grace of God doth not join itself to those who mind earthly things. My son, precious is my grace, it suffereth not itself to be joined with outward things, nor with earthly consolations. Therefore thou oughtest to cast away all things which hinder grace, if thou longest to receive the inpouring thereof. Seek a secret place for thyself, love to dwell alone with thyself, desire the conversation of no one, but rather pour out thy devout prayer to God, that thou mayest possess a contrite mind and a pure conscience. Count the whole world as naught. Seek to be alone with God before all outward things. For thou canst not be alone with me, and at the same time be delighted with transitory things. Thou oughtest to be separated from thy acquaintances and dear friends, and keep thy mind free from all worldly comfort. So the blessed Apostle Peter beseecheth that Christ's faithful ones bear themselves in this world as strangers and pilgrims. 1. 2. Oh, how great a confidence shall there be to the dying man whom no affection to anything detaineth in the world. But to have a heart so separated from all things, a sickly soul doth not yet comprehend, nor doth the carnal man know the liberty of the spiritual man. But if indeed he desire to be spiritually minded, he must renounce both those who are far off and those who are near, and to beware of no man more than himself. If thou perfectly conquer thyself, very easily shalt thou subdue all things besides. Perfect victory is the triumph over oneself. For whoso keepeth himself in subjection, in such manner that the sensual affections obey the reason, and the reason in all things obeyeth me, he truly is conqueror of himself, and lord of the world. 3. If thou desire to climb to this height, thou oughtest to start bravely, and to lay the axe to the root, to the end that thou mayest pull up and destroy the hidden inordinate inclination towards thyself and towards all selfish and earthly good. From this sin that a man loveth himself too inordinately, almost everything hangeth which needeth to be utterly overcome. When that evil is conquered and put under foot, there shall be great peace and tranquillity continually. But because few strive earnestly to die perfectly to themselves, and do not heartily go forth from themselves, therefore do they remain entangled in themselves, and cannot be raised in spirit above themselves. But he who desireth to walk at liberty with me must of necessity mortify all his evil and inordinate affections, and must cling to no creature with selfish love. 1. 1 Peter 2, verse 11. Chapter 54. Of the diverse motions of nature and of grace. My son, pay diligent heed to the motions of nature and of grace, because they move in a very contrary and subtle manner, and are hardly distinguished, save by a spiritual and inwardly enlightened man. All men indeed seek good and make pretense of something good in all that they say or do, and thus, under the appearance of good, many are deceived.
2. Nature is deceitful and draweth away and snareth and deceiveth many, and always hath self for her end. But grace walketh in simplicity and turneth away from every appearance of evil, maketh no false pretences, and doeth all entirely for the sake of God, in whom also she finally resteth. 3. Nature is very unwilling to die, and to be pressed down, and to be overcome, and to be in subjection, and to bear the yoke readily. But grace studieth self-mortification, resisteth sensuality, seeketh to be subdued, longeth to be conquered, and willeth not to use her own liberty. She loveth to be held by discipline, and not to have authority over any, but always to live, to remain, to have her being under God, and for God's sake is ready to be humbly subject to every ordinance of man.
4. Nature laboureth for her own advantage, and considereth what profit she may gain from another, but grace considereth more, not what may be useful and convenient to self, but what may be profitable to the many. 5. Nature willingly receiveth honour and reverence, but grace faithfully ascribeth all honour and glory to God. 6. Nature feareth confusion and contempt, but grace rejoiceth to suffer shame for the name of Jesus. 7. Nature loveth ease and bodily quiet. Grace cannot be unemployed, but gladly embraceth labour. 8. Nature seeketh to possess things curious and attractive, and abhorreth those which are rough and cheap. Grace is delighted with things simple and humble, despiseth not those which are rough, nor refuseth to be clothed with old garments. 9. Nature hath regard to things temporal, rejoiceth in earthly lucre, is made sad by loss, vexed by any little injurious word. But grace reacheth after things eternal, cleaveth not to those which are temporal, is not perturbed by losses, nor embittered by any hard words, because she hath placed her treasure and joy in heaven where naught perisheth. 10. Nature is covetous, and receiveth more willingly than she giveth, loveth things that are personal and private to herself. While grace is kind and generous, avoideth selfishness, is contented with a little, believeth that it is more blessed to give than to receive. 11. Nature inclineth thee to created things, to thine own flesh, to vanities and dissipation, but grace draweth to God and to virtues, renounceth creatures, fleeth from the world, hateth the desires of the flesh, restraineth vagaries, blusheth to be seen in public. 12. Nature is glad to receive some outward solace in which the senses may have delight, but grace seeketh to be comforted in God alone, and to have delight in the chief good above all visible things. 13. Nature doeth everything for her own gain and profit, can do nothing as a free favour, but hopeth to attain something as good or better, or some praise or favour for her benefits, and she loveth that her own deeds and gifts should be highly valued. But grace seeketh nothing temporal, nor requireth any other gift of reward than God alone, neither longeth she for more of temporal necessities than such as may suffice for the attaining of eternal life. 14. Nature rejoiceth in many friends and kinsfolk, she boasteth of noble place and noble birth, she smileth on the powerful, flattereth the rich, applaudeth those who are like herself, but grace loveth even her enemies, and is not lifted up by the multitude of friends, setteth no store upon high place or high birth, unless there be greater virtue therewith, favoureth the poor man more than the rich, hath more sympathy with the innocent than with the powerful, rejoiceth with the truthful, not with the liar, always exhorteth the good to strive after better gifts of grace, and to become by holiness like unto the Son of God. 15. Nature quickly complaineth of poverty and of trouble. Grace beareth want with constancy. 16. Nature looketh upon all things in reference to herself, striveth and argueth for self, but grace bringeth back all things to God from whom they came at the beginning, ascribeth no good to herself, nor arrogantly presumeth, is not contentious, nor preferreth her own opinion to others, but in every sense and understanding submitteth herself to the eternal wisdom and the divine judgment. 17. Nature is eager to know secrets and to hear new things. She loveth to appear abroad and to make experience of many things through the senses. She desireth to be acknowledged and to do those things which win praise and admiration. But grace careth not to gather up new or curious things, because all this springeth from the old corruption, whereas there is nothing new or lasting upon earth. So she teacheth to restrain the senses, to shun vain complacency and ostentation, to hide humbly those things which merit praise and real admiration, and from everything and in all knowledge to seek after useful fruit and the praise and honour of God. She desireth not to receive praise for herself or her own, but longeth that God be blessed in all his gifts, who out of unmingled love bestoweth all things. 18. This grace is a supernatural light and a certain special gift of God, and the proper mark of the elect, and the pledge of eternal salvation. It exalteth a man from earthly things to love those that are heavenly, and it maketh the carnal man spiritual. So far, therefore, as nature is utterly pressed down and overcome, so far is greater grace bestowed, and the inner man is daily created anew by fresh visitations, after the image of God. Chapter 55. Of the corruption of nature and the efficacy of divine grace. O Lord my God, who hast created me after thine own image and similitude, grant me this grace which thou hast shown to be so great and so necessary for salvation, that I may conquer my wicked nature, which draweth me to sin and to perdition. For I feel in my flesh the law of sin, contradicting the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the obedience of sensuality in many things. Nor can I resist its passions, unless thy most holy grace assist me fervently poured into my heart. 2. There is need of thy grace, yea, and of a great measure thereof, that my nature may be conquered, which hath always been prone to evil from my youth. For being fallen through the first man Adam, and corrupted through sin, the punishment of this stain descended upon all men. So that nature itself, which was framed good and right by thee, is now used to express the vice and infirmity of corrupted nature, because its motion left unto itself draweth men away to evil and to lower things. For the little power which remaineth is as it were one spark lying hid in the ashes. This is natural reason itself, encompassed with thick clouds, having yet a discernment of good and evil, a distinction of the true and the false, though it be powerless to fulfill all that it approveth, and possess not yet the full light of truth, nor healthfulness of its affections. 3. Hence it is, O my God, that I delight in thy law after the inward man, knowing that thy commandment is holy and just and good, reproving also all evil and the sin that is to be avoided. Yet with the flesh I serve the law of sin, whilst I obey sensuality rather than reason. Hence it is that to will to do good is present with me, but how to perform it I find not. Hence I ofttimes purpose many good things. But because grace is lacking to help mine infirmities, I fall back before a little resistance and fail. Hence it cometh to pass that I recognize the way of perfectness, and see very clearly what things I ought to do. But pressed down by the weight of my own corruption, I rise not to the things which are more perfect. 4. O how entirely necessary is thy grace to me, O Lord, for a good beginning, for progress, and for bringing to perfection. For without it I can do nothing, but I can do all things through thy grace which strengtheneth me. 3. O truly heavenly grace, without which our own merits are naught, and no gifts of nature at all are to be esteemed, arts, riches, beauty, strength, wit, eloquence, they all avail nothing before thee, O Lord, without thy grace. For the gifts of nature belong to good and evil alike, but the proper gift of the elect is grace, that is, love. And they who bear the mark thereof are held worthy of everlasting life. So mighty is this grace that without it neither the gift of prophecy nor the working of miracles, nor any speculation, howsoever lofty, is of any value at all. But neither faith, nor hope, nor any other virtue is accepted with thee without love and grace. 5. O most blessed grace that makest the poor in spirit rich in virtues, and renderest him who is rich in many things, humble in spirit, come thou, descend upon me, fill me early with thy consolation, lest my soul fail through weariness and drought of mind. I beseech thee, O Lord, that I may find grace in thy sight, for thy grace is sufficient for me, when I obtain not those things which nature longeth for. If I be tempted and vexed with many tribulations, I will fear no evil while thy grace remaineth with me. This alone is my strength, this bringeth me counsel and help. It is more powerful than all enemies and wiser than all the wise men in the world. 6. It is the mistress of truth, the teacher of discipline, the light of the heart, the solace of anxiety, the banisher of sorrow, the deliverer from fear, the nurse of devotion, the drawer forth of tears. What am I without it save a dry tree, a useless branch, worthy to be cast away? Let thy grace therefore, O Lord, always prevent and follow me, and make me continually given to all good works, through Jesus Christ thy Son. Amen. 1. Romans 7, verse 12, 22, 25. 2. Romans 7, verse 18. 3. Philippians 4, verse 13. 4. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Chapter 56. That we ought to deny ourselves, and to imitate Christ by means of the cross. My son, so far as thou art able to go out of thyself, so far shalt thou be able to enter into me. As to desire no outward thing worketh internal peace, so the forsaking of self inwardly joineth unto God. I will that thou learn perfect self-denial, living in my will without contradiction or complaint. Follow me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Without the way thou canst not go. Without the truth thou canst not know, without the life thou canst not live. I am the way which thou oughtest to follow, the truth which thou oughtest to believe, the life which thou oughtest to hope for. I am the way unchangeable, the truth infallible, the life everlasting. I am the way altogether straight, the truth supreme, the true life, the blessed life, the uncreated life. If thou remain in my way, thou shalt know the truth, and the truth shall make thee free, and thou shalt lay hold on eternal life. 2. If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. If thou wilt know the truth, believe in me. If thou wilt be perfect, sell all that thou hast. If thou wilt be my disciple, deny thyself. If thou wouldst possess the blessed life, despise the life which now is. If thou wilt be exalted in heaven, humble thyself in the world. If thou wilt reign with me, bear the cross with me, for only the servants of the cross find the way of blessedness and of true light. 3. O Lord Jesu, for as much as thy life was straitened and despised by the world, grant unto me to imitate thee in despising the world, for the servant is not greater than his Lord, nor the disciple above his master. 4. Let thy servant be exercised in thy life, because there is my salvation and true holiness. Whatsoever I read or hear besides it, it refresheth me not, nor giveth me delight. 4. My son, because thou knowest these things and hast read them all, blessed shalt thou be if thou doest them. He who hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. 5. And I will make him to sit down with me in my Father's kingdom. 5. O Lord Jesu, as thou hast said and promised, even so let it be unto me, and grant me to prove worthy. I have received the cross at thy hand, I have carried it, and will carry it even unto death, as thou hast laid it upon me. Truly, the life of a truly devoted servant is a cross, but it leadeth to paradise. I have begun, I may not return back nor leave it. 6. Come, my brothers, let us together go forward. Jesus shall be with us. For Jesus' sake have we taken up this cross, for Jesus' sake let us persevere in the cross. He will be our helper, who was our captain and forerunner. Behold, our King entereth in before us, and he will fight for us. Let us follow bravely, let no man fear terrors, let us be prepared to die bravely in battle, and let us not so stain our honor as to fly from the cross. 1. John 14, verse 6. 2. John 8, verse 32. 3. Matthew 19, verse 17, 21. 4. Matthew 10, verse 24. 5. John 14, verse 21. 6. 1 Maccabees 9.10. Chapter 57. That a man must not be too much cast down when he falleth into some faults. My son, patience and humility in adversities are more pleasing to me than much comfort and devotion in prosperity. Why doth a little thing spoken against thee make thee sad? If it had been more, thou still oughtest not to be moved. But now suffer it to go by. It is not the first, it is not new, and it will not be the last, if thou live long. Thou art brave enough, so long as no adversity meeteth thee. Thou givest good counsel also, and knowest how to strengthen others with thy words. But when tribulation suddenly knocketh at thine own door, thy counsel and strength fail. Consider thy great frailty, which thou dost so often experience in trifling matters nevertheless. For thy soul's health these things are done when they and such like happen unto thee. 2. Put them away from thy heart as well as thou canst, and if tribulation hath touched thee, yet let it not cast thee down nor entangle thee long. At the least, bear patiently, if thou canst not joyfully. And although thou be very unwilling to hear it and feel indignation, yet check thyself and suffer no unadvised word to come forth from thy lips, whereby the little ones may be offended. Soon the storm which hath been raised shall be stilled, and inward grief shall be sweetened by returning grace. I yet live, saith the Lord, ready to help thee, and to give thee more than wanted consolation if thou put thy trust in me, and call devoutly upon me. 3. Be thou more calm of spirit, and gird thyself for greater endurance. All is not frustrated, though thou find thyself very often afflicted or grievously tempted. Thou art man, not God. Thou art flesh, not an angel. How shouldst thou be able to remain alway in the same state of virtue when an angel in heaven fell and the first man in paradise? I am he who lifteth up the mourners to deliverance, and those who know their own infirmity I raise up to my own nature. 4. O Lord, blessed be thy word, sweeter to my mouth than honey and the honeycomb. What should I do in my so great tribulations and anxieties, unless thou didst comfort me with thy holy words? If only I may attain unto the haven of salvation, what matter is it what things or how many I suffer? Give me a good end, give me a happy passage out of this world. Remember me, O my God, and lead me by the right way unto thy kingdom. Amen. Chapter 58. Of deeper matters, and God's hidden judgments which are not to be inquired into. My son, beware thou dispute not of high matters and of the hidden judgments of God. Why this man is thus left, and that man is taken into so great favor. Why also this man is so greatly afflicted, and that so highly exalted. These things pass all man's power of judging, neither may any reasoning or disputation have power to search out the divine judgments. When therefore the enemy suggesteth these things to thee, or when any curious people ask such questions, answer with that word of the prophet, Just art thou, O Lord, and true is thy judgment. And with this, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. My judgments are to be feared, not to be disputed on, because they are incomprehensible to human understanding. 2. And be not given to inquire or dispute about the merits of the saints, which is holier than another, or which is the greater in the kingdom of heaven. Such questions often beget useless strifes and contentions. They also nourish pride and vainglory, whence envyings and dissensions arise, while one man arrogantly endeavoureth to exalt one saint and another another. But to wish to know and search out such things bringeth no fruit, but it rather displeaseth the saints. For I am not the God of confusion, but of peace. 3. Which peace consisteth more in true humility than in self-exaltation. 3. Some are drawn by zeal of love to greater affection to these saints or those, but this is human affection rather than divine. I am he who made all the saints. I gave them grace. I brought them glory. I know the merits of everyone. I prevented them with the blessings of my goodness. 4. I foreknew my beloved ones from everlasting. I chose them out of the world. 5. They did not choose me. I called them by my grace, drew them by my mercy, led them on through sundry temptations. I poured mighty consolations upon them. I gave them perseverance. I crowned their patience. 4. I acknowledge the first and the last. I embrace all with inestimable love. I am to be praised in all my saints. I am to be blessed above all things, and to be honored in everyone whom I have so gloriously exalted and predestined, without any preceding merits of their own. He therefore that shall despise one of the least of these my people, honoreth not the great, because I made both small and great. 6. And he who speaketh against any of my saints speaketh against me, and against all others in the kingdom of heaven. They are all one through the bond of charity. They think the same thing, will the same thing, and all are united in love one to another. 5. But yet, which is far better, they love me above themselves and their own merits. For being caught up above themselves, and drawn beyond self-love, they go all straight forward to the love of me, and they rest in me in perfect enjoyment. There is nothing which can turn them away or press them down, for being full of eternal truth, they burn with the fire of inextinguishable charity. Therefore let all carnal and natural men hold their peace concerning the state of the saints, for they know nothing save to love their own personal enjoyment. They take away and add according to their own inclination, not as it pleaseth the eternal truth. 6. In many men this is ignorance. Chiefly is it so in those who, being little enlightened, rarely learn to love anyone with perfect spiritual love. They are still much drawn by natural affection and human friendship to these or to those, and as they reckon of themselves in lower matters, so also do they frame imaginations of things heavenly. But there is an immeasurable difference between those things which they imperfectly imagine and these things which enlightened men behold through supernatural revelation. 7. Take heed, therefore, my son, that thou treat not curiously those things which surpass thy knowledge, but rather make this thy business, and give attention to it, namely that thou seek to be found, even though it be the least in the kingdom of God. And even if anyone should know who were holier than others, or who were held greatest in the kingdom of heaven, what should that knowledge profit him, unless through this knowledge he should humble himself before me and should rise up to give greater praise unto my name? He who considereth how great are his own sins, how small his virtues, and how far he is removed from the perfection of the saints, doeth far more acceptably in the sight of God than he who disputeth about their greatness or littleness. 8. They are altogether well content if men would learn to be content, and to refrain from vain babbling. They glory not of their own merits, seeing they ascribe no good unto themselves, but all unto me, seeing that I of my infinite charity have given them all things. They are filled with so great love of the divinity, and with such overflowing joy, that no glory is lacking to them, neither can any felicity be lacking. All the saints, the higher they are exalted in glory, the humbler are they in themselves, and the nearer and dearer are they unto me. And so thou hast it written that they cast their crowns before God, and fell on their faces before the Lamb, and worshipped him that liveth for ever and ever. 7:9. Many ask who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven, who know not whether they shall be worthy to be counted among the least. It is a great thing to be even the least in heaven, where all are great, because all shall be called and shall be the sons of God. A little one shall become 1,000, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. For when the disciples asked who should be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, they received no other answer than this: except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall humble himself as this little child, the same shall be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. 8:10. Woe unto them who disdain to humble themselves willingly with the little children, for the low gate of the kingdom of heaven will not suffer them to enter in. Woe also to them who are rich, who have their consolation here. 9. Because whilst the poor enter into the kingdom of God, they shall stand lamenting without. Rejoice, ye humble, and exult, ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God, if only ye walk in the truth. 1. Psalm 119, verse 137. 2. Psalm 19, verse 9. 3. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. 4. Psalm 21, verse 3. 5. John 15, verse 19. 6. Wisdvimens 8. 7. Revelation 4, verse 10. Vudif 14. 8. Matthew 18, verse 3. 9. Luke 6, verse 24. Chapter 59. That all hope and trust is to be fixed in God alone. O Lord, what is my trust which I have in this life, or what is my greatest comfort of all the things which are seen under heaven? Is it not thou, O Lord my God, whose mercies are without number? Where hath it been well with me without thee? Or when could it be evil whilst thou wert near? I had rather be poor for thy sake than rich without thee. I choose rather to be a pilgrim upon the earth with thee than without thee to possess heaven. Where thou art, there is heaven, and where thou art not, behold there death and hell. Thou art all my desire, and therefore must I groan and cry and earnestly pray after thee. In short, I can confide fully in none to give me ready help in necessities save in thee alone, O my God. Thou art my hope, thou art my trust, thou art my comforter and most faithful in all things. 2. All men seek their own. 1. Thou settest forward only my salvation and my profit, and turnest all things unto my good. Even though thou dost expose me to divers temptations and adversities, thou ordainest all this unto my advantage, for thou art wont to prove thy beloved ones in 1,000 ways, in which proving thou oughtest no less to be loved and praised than if thou wert filling me full of heavenly consolations. 3. In thee therefore, O Lord God, I put all my hope and my refuge, on thee I lay all my tribulation and anguish, because I find all to be weak and unstable whatsoever I behold out of thee. For many friends shall not profit, nor strong helpers be able to succor, nor prudent counsellors to give a useful answer, nor the books of the learned to console, nor any precious substance to deliver, nor any secret and beautiful place to give shelter, if thou thyself do not assist, help, strengthen, comfort, instruct, keep in safety. 4. For all things which seem to belong to the attainment of peace and felicity are nothing when thou art absent, and bring no felicity at all in reality. Therefore art thou the end of all good, and the fullness of life, and the soul of eloquence, and to hope in thee above all things is the strongest solace of thy servants. Mine eyes look unto thee. 2. In thee is my trust, O my God, Father of mercies. 5. Bless and sanctify my soul with heavenly blessing, that it may become thy holy habitation and the seat of thy eternal glory. And let nothing be found in the temple of thy divinity which may offend the eyes of thy majesty. According to the greatness of thy goodness and the multitude of thy mercies, look upon me and hear the prayer of thy poor servant, far exiled from thee in the land of the shadow of death. Protect and preserve the soul of thy least servant amid so many dangers of corruptible life, and by thy grace accompanying me, direct it by the way of peace unto its home of perpetual light. Amen. 1. Philippians 2, verse 21. 2. Psalm 141, verse 8. The fourth book of the Sacrament of the Altar, a devout exhortation to the Holy Communion at the voice of Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you, saith the Lord. The bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. 3. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. 4. 1. Matthew 11, verse 28, 2. John 6, verse 51. 3. Matthew 26, verse 26. Luke 22, verse 19. 4. John 6, verse 51, 63. Chapter 1. With how great reverence Christ must be received, the voice of the disciple. These are thy words, O Christ, eternal truth, though not uttered at one time, nor written together in one place of Scripture, because therefore they are thy words and true, I must gratefully and faithfully receive them all. They are thine, and thou hast uttered them, and they are mine also, because thou didst speak them for my salvation. Gladly I receive them from thy mouth, that they may be more deeply implanted in my heart. Words of such great grace arouse me, for they are full of sweetness and love, but my own sins terrify me, and my impure conscience driveth me away from receiving so great mysteries. The sweetness of thy words encourageth me, but the multitude of my faults presseth me down. 2. Thou commandest that I draw near to thee with firm confidence, if I would have part with thee, and that I receive the food of immortality, if I desire to obtain eternal life and glory. Come unto me, sayest thou, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. O sweet and lovely word in the ear of the sinner, that thou, O Lord my God, dost invite the poor and needy to the communion of thy most holy body and blood. But who am I, O Lord, that I should presume to approach unto thee? Behold, the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, and yet thou sayest, Come ye all unto me. 3. What meaneth this most gracious condescension, this most lovely invitation? How shall I dare to come, who know no good thing of myself, whence I might be able to presume? How shall I bring thee within my house, seeing that I so often have sinned in thy most loving sight? Angels and archangels stand in awe of thee. The saints and just men fear thee, and thou sayest, Come unto me. Except thou, Lord, hadst said it, who should believe it true? And except thou hadst commanded, who should attempt to draw near? 4. Behold, Noah, that just man, labored for 100 years in building the ark, that he might be saved with the few. And I, how shall I be able in 1 hour to prepare myself to receive the builder of the world with reverence? Moses, thy servant, thy great and especial friend, made an ark of incorruptible wood, which also he covered with purest gold, that he might lay up in it the tables of the law. And I, a corruptible creature, shall I dare thus easily to receive thee, the maker of the law, and the giver of life? Solomon, the wisest of the kings of Israel, was 7 years building his magnificent temple to the praise of thy name, and for 8 days celebrated the feast of its dedication, offered 1,000 peace offerings, and solemnly brought up the Ark of the Covenant to the place prepared for it, with the sound of trumpets and great joy. And I, unhappy and poorest of mankind, how shall I bring thee into my house, who scarce know how to spend 30 minutes in devotion? And oh, that it were even 30 minutes worthily spent! 5. O my God, how earnestly these holy men strove to please thee! And alas! How little and trifling is that which I do! How short a time do I spend when I am disposing myself to communion, rarely altogether collected, most rarely cleansed from all distraction! And surely in the saving presence of thy Godhead, no unmeet thought ought to intrude, nor should any creature take possession of me, because it is not an angel, but the Lord of the angels, that I am about to receive as my guest. 6. Yet there is a vast difference between the Ark of the Covenant with its relics, and thy most pure body with its ineffable virtues, between those sacrifices of the law, which were figures of things to come, and the true sacrifice of thy body, the completion of all the ancient sacrifices. 7. Wherefore then do I not yearn more ardently after thy adorable presence? Why do I not prepare myself with greater solicitude to receive thy holy things, when those holy patriarchs and prophets of old, kings also and princes with the whole people, manifested so great affection of devotion towards thy divine service? 8. The most devout King David danced with all his might before the Ark of God, calling to mind the benefits granted to his forefathers in days past. He fashioned musical instruments of various sorts, put forth psalms, and appointed them to be sung with joy, played also himself ofttimes on the harp, being inspired with the grace of the Holy Ghost. He taught the people of Israel to praise God with the whole heart, and with unity of voice to bless and praise him every day. If so great devotion was then exercised, and celebration of divine praise was carried on before the Ark of the Testimony, how great reverence and devotion ought now to be shown by me and all Christian people at the ministering of the sacrament, at receiving the most precious body and blood of Christ. 9. Many run to diverse places to visit the memorials of departed saints, and rejoice to hear of their deeds and to look upon the beautiful buildings of their shrines. And behold, thou art present here with me, O my God, Saint of saints, Creator of men and Lord of the angels. Often in looking at those memorials men are moved by curiosity and novelty, and very little fruit of amendment is borne away, especially when there is so much careless trifling and so little true contrition. But here in the sacrament of the altar, thou art present altogether, my God, the man Christ Jesus, where also abundant fruit of eternal life is given to everyone, soever that receiveth thee worthily and devoutly. But to this no levity draweth, no curiosity, nor sensuality, only steadfast faith, devout hope, and sincere charity. 10. O God, invisible Creator of the world, how wondrously dost thou work with us, how sweetly and graciously thou dealest with thine elect, to whom thou offerest thyself to be received in this sacrament. For this surpasseth all understanding, this specially draweth the hearts of the devout, and enkindleth their affections. For even thy true faithful ones themselves, who order their whole life to amendment, oftentimes gain from this most excellent sacrament great grace of devotion and love of virtue. 11. O admirable and hidden grace of the sacrament which only Christ's faithful ones know, but the faithless and those who serve sin cannot experience. In this sacrament is conferred spiritual grace, and lost virtue is regained in the soul, and the beauty which was disfigured by sin returneth again. So great sometimes is this grace that out of the fullness of devotion given, not only the mind, but also the weak body feeleth that more strength is supplied unto it. 12. But greatly must we mourn and lament over our lukewarmness and negligence, that we are not drawn by greater affection to become partakers of Christ, in whom all the hope and the merit of those that are to be saved consist. For he himself is our sanctification and redemption, 1. He is the consolation of pilgrims and the eternal fruition of the saints. Therefore it is grievously to be lamented that many so little consider this health-giving mystery, which maketh heaven glad and preserveth the whole world. Alas for the blindness and hardness of man's heart, that he considereth not more this unspeakable gift, and even slippeth down through the daily use into carelessness. 13. For if this most holy sacrament were celebrated in one place only, and were consecrated only by one priest in the whole world, with what great desire, thinkest thou, would men be affected towards that place and towards such a priest of God, that they might behold the divine mysteries celebrated? But now are many men made priests, and in many places the sacrament is celebrated, that the grace and love of God towards men might the more appear, the more widely the Holy Communion is spread abroad over all the world. Thanks be unto thee, O good Jesus, eternal shepherd, who hast vouchsafed to refresh us, poor and exiled ones, with thy precious body and blood, and to invite us to partake these holy mysteries, by the invitation from thine own mouth, saying, Come unto me, ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Chapter 2. That the greatness and charity of God is shown to men in the sacrament,